Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire, neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. We'll save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. To save England and the UK.
Defence League radio show broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. English Defence League radio show, the voice of the EDL. A producer of the show tonight is our very own Kel, aka Red Fox Blogger, aka Tonight, and a great nickname, and I'm saluting this nickname, ladies and gentlemen, Crusader Princess. What a great nickname for the show this evening, Kel. Love it, love it, love it. So
thanks,
welcome.
Jeff. Hi.
You are so
how are you doing
very
today?
Welcome. Well, you know what? I'm ecstatic, absolutely ecstatic, because I've just noticed just a little while ago we've got our very own Sue from New Mexico, who's been very poorly, who's listening to the show this evening. Sue, it's so good to know that you're there and you're listening, and I hope you're feeling much better. And we've all been thinking about you, all been in our prayers, and I think Agador wanted to send you his love as well. He's sitting in the chat room, so just to give you a heads up, and a lot of people on Blog Talk Radio you've been in their thoughts and prayers. So, you know, by the way, I've just seen he's done this very stealth-like. As I say, Agador heard him meowing outside the door, and he's come through the cat flap. I didn't actually hear it rattle, but he's got a nickname tonight, the Birmingham One. It's that very own Mr. Cat Strangler 101, Mr. Tim Burton. And I'm going to bring him on and say hello to you, Tim. Good
yes.
evening.
Yeah, good
hello,
evening
Tim.
To you. Good evening, Jeff, and good
that
evening,
Kev. That was done stealth-like tonight, wasn't it, Tim?
Well, you know,
stealthy.
Well, yeah, I can highly recommend this diet. It's the Jamie Oliver Blackbird diet, and it's working really well.
Goodness.
I can highly recommend it. You know,
Jamie Oliver.
Yeah, that's it. Sauteed.
Do you cook naked too?
He's giving out recipes like that now. My goodness
yes.
me, Tim. He's going to get in a lot of trouble, isn't he?
Sauteed.
Tim's cooking naked.
Yes, I have to say.
No, Tim always has a bow tie on when he's had his food naked. Tim's got a tail flick. Oh, no.
Hey, Tim, watch that bacon grease.
Yes.
My goodness, me. But it's so good to have you on the show this evening, Tim.
Thank you very much.
And, but as I say, I don't know about you guys, but it's so good to see Sue back, who's sitting in listening on a phone and that this evening to the show. Absolutely great. She said that when I talked to her on the phone before, she said that they were going to get the internet sorted out, so hopefully that's been done for her. So there you go. But anyway, it's a good. And guess who else we've got here tonight as well? We've got our very own Sonny Boyle. Sonny Boyle. Boyle, CDL. It's good to have you on the show this evening as well. Sonny, I'm just bringing you in there, buddy, and I hope you are well. Good evening, mate.
Hi, Sonny.
Good. Hello, everybody, and also hello again, Sue. Our prayers and thoughts from the Wiltshire Division are going out to you too. We have been thinking of you, and we're glad to see you back.
Oh, bless you. Yeah, that's right, isn't it? We do. Sue's become so much of the blog talk family. We miss, you know, we do miss people when they're not around, don't we, Gail and Tim and
yes,
Sonny?
Indeed.
We miss these great people, you know. But yourself, as I know, you and Tim, you've got a busy week this week, haven't you, mate? You've got a busy week.
Yeah.
Especially Tim's, he's got his hearing coming up on this Tuesday. So what you hope, I know you've been Birmingham this week, Sonny, was you hoping to be there for Tim's day?
Yeah,
didn't know whether you wasn't.
I'm hoping to get down in the car and bring a few of the guys down again and pay them a favour of pork pies and sausage rolls. We will do our best. And then also this week, and another big one, we've got also, I'm back in court on Friday, but we've also got another big group of Patriots again that are going into Magistrates Court. They've done another 4 or 5 people from Norwich now.
Oh, right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This goes to show you, ladies and gentlemen, there is We've got to say the way it is, Tim and Sonny, there is a witch hunt going on for our patriots up and down the country. Cameron, he said a while ago that he was going to war. There was an article written that he was going to go to war against the EDL. And it's quite obvious that his strategy is to try to crush us, to stop us doing what we're doing, take people off the streets, to stop people wanting to be involved with what we're doing. But all it is people know what this Cameron regime is all about. People can see above it, and what they're doing is becoming more resilient to this situation. Tim, we talked about this going back a while ago, didn't we, that the pressure would come to bear on us. Simply, we know that the way that these the powers be work. And it hasn't shocked you at all exactly what's going on, is
well,
it, Tim?
Given that Cameron said what he did about the EDL, I suppose the events that have transpired aren't all that shocking. But he's completely on the wrong side, of course. And the thing is, he doesn't seem to learn from events that go on around him. For example, now that we've had the report on the Law and Freedom Foundation about Muslim sex slavery and the paedophile grooming that's been going on, it's highlighted that this sort of thing has been going on, not only has it been going on for about 25 years or more, but that virtually every level in authority that should have been taking care of the vulnerable girls in our communities has been sweeping this disgraceful state of affairs under the carpet. And what that means effectively is that the EDL have been proved right all along. And you would think that David Cameron would say, maybe I've just hooked up with the wrong side. I thought I was partnering against fascism with signing up with the UAF, but now I realise that the EDL were right all along, and the UAF are actually the problem. They're part of the problem because they're just a bunch of fascists. And if only politicians would learn from their mistakes and stop and think every now and again, it would be a much better world for everybody. But I'm not entirely surprised with the way things are going on. So is Cameron is obviously determined
we'd actually
not to
talked
not
about
to,
this before, hadn't yeah. we, Tim? We said that you said going back a little while ago, don't be surprised because they will try to put some pressure on. And it's played out exactly what you said, and I think most of us knew that it was this was the sort of thing that was going to be occurring. So it's at the same time, you know, my thoughts and prayers go out to all the lads and everybody that's involved with being rounded up by the police and under this. It is, I think, one charge being there. It's violent conduct or whatever it is. This one charge which they've really taken it to task over. And I'm glad to see that the lads are standing by the gates. Because if they say they've got video evidence, this, that and the other, you wouldn't see that video before you put your hands up to it. You wouldn't see, because anybody can muck about with videos and alter things, this, that and the other. So let's, you know, this is what I'm saying. I wouldn't put my hands up to nothing unless there was firm evidence against me. You know what I'm saying? Myself personally, if I was in that situation, and I don't know about you, Tim, and Sonny, well, you pleaded guilty to Prozac because, I don't know, did you see the evidence? Did you see the video? Did they show you it, by the way? That's what I was asking.
Unfortunately. But again, it's stupidly sad, really, because, you know, they've got evidence of me, but funny enough, that the evidence of the UAF seemed to, just before the court case, there was evidence of UAF chucking stuff on YouTube and before the court case, and just done and deleted and erased from history. So,
very drafty. Yeah, there's a lot of inside stuff going on, as we know, Sonny. As we know, the Cameron regime are very much involved with sponsoring these scumbags, this UAF. 300 other politicians, we've got to speak out, there's 300 other politicians are supporting these people that cause all sorts of problems on the street. David Cameron's boot boys. And this is why a lot of them get off with these charges, as they do, as we spoke about as before. It does seem to be that when they appear in court is they have a short thing, and it's basically all the charges are reduced, and they might basically walk out as free men. In the case of the English Defence League, ladies and gentlemen, the Patriots in the English Defence League, we don't sort of have that grace of favour as such. They want to put us, you know, under pressure and just try to make, what you call it, what they say, make other people think that, oh dear, if you know, if you get caught out by the police, and they're going to come down on you. Well, this is the whole idea. It's a tactic which they're trying to do, which is, as you say, it's a bit of a witch hunt against our Patriots, are trying to shut people up. Well, they won't shut people up. That's the trouble. All it does is it becomes a revolution in the end. People will have enough, and there will be a revolution in this country. So, Sonny, you want to come in there. Go ahead,
yeah,
mate.
I just wanted to share something with you guys that plays been playing on my mind all day. I told you guys on the last radio show that obviously I had threats on my life from these animals, and I stayed at my sister's house last night with my my sister, my 18-year-old sister, and my 7-year-old sister, and we had a car full of Muslims from local takeaway that parked up outside the house, and were making death threats. I then called the police.
Did you call the police, by the way, Tom?
Yeah.
Sonny?
Yep.
Did you?
Yep.
What did the police say?
This is what will make you laugh. We called the police and they moved the car on. 20 minutes later, this was 20 past 2 in the morning, I walked outside, went outside for a coffee and a cigarette. Next minute, I've seen one of the same guys that were in the car trying to jump over the back garden fence to get into the house. So I called the police again and I said to them, it's took you guys 25 minutes to arrive. Now, this is what will make you laugh. This is how corrupt this country is, right? I said, if it happens again when you go, I said, and this guy gets into my house, I said, I've got a 7-year-old sister in there, I will be forced to take myself and back. I said to the officer, what am I allowed to do? Can I restrain him and call you and get you to come and arrest him? He said, yes. I said, so if he gets in, I will restrain him and hold him down until you get here to arrest him. Do you know what they told me? They told me that if I hold him, if I was to do that, if I was to resist him and keep him there until the police arrived, if I hold him more than 10 minutes against his own will, I would be arrested on suspicion of kidnap in my own home. How the hell are we supposed to defend ourselves?
My goodness, 5 o'clock this morning, Jeff. Did you hear what Sonny said? There was somebody trying to break his house, and if he was to restrain him, he asked them, can I restrain? They said, yes. But if you hold them longer than 10 minutes, it's classed as kidnap. Can you believe this? Can you believe this crap? These policemen are now saying... For our safety, well, you know what, Sonny, I'll say, bugger you, I'll tell you what, he gets in here and he will suffer the consequences. I don't care what you say, you can put me bloody away, you can lock me up, I don't care, no one's going to get in my house and maybe hurt my family. Sonny, this has made me absolutely fume. I don't know about you guys,
well,
I'm raging.
This is just a normal occurrence, Jeff. I told you, people lately, you guys know, I've not been in a good place lately due to all this. I won't surrender.
I know,
but it does build on you. I mean, I didn't get to sleep till 5 this morning. We've called the police out, because obviously if I would have reacted, I'm looking at a sentence anyway, I would have just gone down straight away. But we had 5 Pakistani men, Muslims, that are outside telling me that they were going to get into the house. Shouting, looking at me, eyeing me up. I had a 7-year-old sister in there, and I'm being told that if I'm to defend myself and my family inside my own home or my sister's home, that I am basically 25 minutes for them to get there. If I restrict 10 minutes, what am I supposed to do for them? So he could have butchered every single one of us before then. You know, I'm just...
Well, you know what, Sonny... And I do understand that you know that the situation is a bit dying like that. But take it from me, son. I do. You know, my family's my family, and they try to hurt my family. There would be a reaction, whether it be me having a custodian sentence over it. No one's going to get in my home, threaten my family and that, without me doing anything, stand by, or hold them, restrain them, do what you've got to do, what you said. But it comes that if you hold them too long, ladies and gentlemen, you can be done for abduction. Kidnap. Abduction. Can you believe it? This guy breaks into your home, wants to cause your damage, you family, maybe your family damage, harm. And the police say, well, if you hold them longer than 10 minutes, you know, it's classed as abduction. This is how corrupt this police in this country is at this moment in time. I tell you what, you know, it's things like this that really, really angers the public. The public, you need to hear this radio show, Sonny, what's going on, what went on with Tommy, what went on with Kevin, the same situation, because you are EDL, you are a patriot. This is what happens because you stand up and you speak out. But, you know, they think they're having their day, that they can get away with it. But there will be a time come, they will rue the day that they don't do anything when people, their families are in need of a little bit of help. That's what the police are supposed to be there to do, to protect the public. You, a citizen, doesn't matter we English defence, whoever you are, if people want to do you harm, it's their job to protect you and your family. I don't know. I know Kel was, you maybe want to come back on that. I'm raging, Kel. I'm absolutely raging.
Oh, believe me, I am having conniption fits here. And Sonny, this is just unbelievable. Now, I know that in the United States, they have something called the Castle Laws. I don't know if it's in every state. But what that means is that if you have an intruder enter your home, you can take whatever means possible to protect your family. And if you can apprehend that criminal and tie him up and do whatever the hell it is you have to do and phone the authorities, is that they are exempt from such bogus charges like kidnapping. This is just unreal. This makes me sick.
I mean,
that means you're supposed to stand by and let them hurt you and your family, aren't they, Sonny? And not do that. Or can you stand there, old chap, while the police arrive?
Yeah, I mean, this is just another story that links in with mine that was in the newspaper just before Christmas last year. Two old ladies, but both widowed. They were best friends through life, so they decided to move in together with their husbands passed into a house. Three Asian members, Muslims I'll call them actually, because I'm sick of saying Asians. They were Muslim. They broke into the house,
yeah.
And one of the old women took a walking stick and took him onto the head and boshed him one over the head and chased him out of the house. That Muslim man, after they broke in, then pressed charges against the elderly woman, and she had to pay, I think it was a £75 fine, and was basically told that it's not acceptable for defending anyone. This is an old lady.
I think it's just the law gone mad and the law being politically correct just so as they don't upset the cultural sensitivities of these coranimals, because that's what they are. When they're trying to do sort of damage to you, you'd have been, in their eyes, the infidel, the kuffar, and they think it's their God-given right, and then you've got the police, who seems to be Sharia-compliant, are going along with it. A total disgrace. This is what we've got in the United Kingdom today, 2014. Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you might be, this is the situation that we stand before us. Are we going to put up with it? No, we bloody ain't. No, we ain't going to stand for it. It's wrong. And, you know, we'll do what we've always been doing. We are a peaceful pressure group, but we are starting to get rather annoyed at of what's going on with great lads like our Sonny and our other good people up and down the country. You see, it's just not Sonny, but there's other of our patriots who are going through the same sort of problems as well. So our listeners know exactly what's going on there, Sonny. Thank goodness we've got the radio show that we can highlight all these issues. That's the reason why it's here for, the world can see.
I do want to tell everyone this story that occurred yesterday morning. was not just a sudden target. Basically, for all the listeners, you can check up on it because it's happening in Westbury, in Wiltshire, the UK. There are two Indian takeaways, Saffron and Taylor Spice. I'm going to put their names out there because you can look it up because this part of the story is sick. One of them went into the pub and followed my mum home the one night because he wanted her and he had every right. His name was Sammy, and Taylor Spice's name is. I'll put his details out there. And then had two more lads come down and try to do his dirty on her. And she rung me at 3 a.m. And was hiding in a neighbour's bush. And this has led on to these two Indian takeaways joining up together and targeting the family because she rejected him and refused to let him have his wicked way with her. So that's Taylor Spice and Saffron Indian takeaway in Westbury, Wiltshire. Because that it is, in my eyes, they're trying to groom there, and it's because they can't get their own way, they're now targeting innocent people and children.
It's a total disgrace that's going on in this country. What can I say? It's left me flabbergasted. That's your mother, your mum that they was trying to target. Is that right, Sonny? Your mum?
Yeah, they actually said to her. This man, Sammy, followed her in the pub and said, I'm widowed. My husband was in the army. I'm not interested. He then asked her repeatedly throughout the night. He told him, you can come back to mine, stay at the Taylor Spice. We'll cut you something to eat. She said, I got to go home for the kids. He said, well, bring your kids over. She rejected him. And as she was walking home at quarter past 2 a.m, he followed her and then chased her down the road with two other people, and she ended up having to hide in a neighbour's garden and call me.
God.
And because of the rejection, this is why that problem happened last night. They're now targeting the family because she refused to let them get their wicked way with her.
But ladies and gentlemen, now you know what we're talking about in this country, and this is to one of our own's mum, his mother, this happened to. These stories... This is not new. These stories are going on all over the country. Wherever these people are, these animals are, we got these issues. We got these problems. Remember, they think that they can do as they like. What my right hand possess? I like that woman. I'm going to take that woman. I don't care. She's an infidel. She's a kufar. It doesn't matter. You know, this is straight from the prophet. What he used to say to his men. What your right hand possess, take what you want. Take his booty to them. It's booty. You see, that's the way they look at it. I'm so sorry to hear that your mother went through this ordeal, Sonny. And what did the old Bill do about it, Sonny? Come on, mate. This is serious charge.
Yeah, well, we had decided to not obviously after he followed home that one night about a month ago, we decided not to say anything because... I said that if it comes to it, he was my mum. If they tried it again, I told her that I was going to go up there myself and go straight through the window, the front of the shop, and I'd have my way with them. So we decided not to protect it later. But we had police called out, and they referred us to the neighbourhood policing team this morning. They come round the house, sat down, and we explained the whole story and what had been going on, and they basically said that we'd need to, in future, take a log of it or put a camera up, as there's no proof. And there's nothing they could do about it at this minute in time. And I said to them, the problem with this, I said, they've followed her home. They're now targeting the house. I said, this is the early stage. It's not going to stop here. I said, someone is going to get hurt. Someone is going to get killed. I said, because they don't stop here. This is the problem. That is the beginning. They want you. You reject them. They target your family. How long before they've tried getting in the house, before they're trying to behead you, before they're trying to kidnap you or groom my sister or whatever not. And they said, we ain't got the proof. I said, I did say to them, because you know my temper like yours, Jeff, it get me rolled. These are my little sisters, and I told them.
I know, Sam, and I would do exactly the same as you, boy.
I said, I don't care
what they say, Sam. I would. That's my family, and I know the way you feel. You're doing the right thing, mate. And if the police can't protect you, you've got to take all the precaution you can to look after your mum and your sisters and your family. And that's all I think it's so wrong, ladies and gentlemen, that a young man like Sonny has got these problems and the police really and truly are not doing fuck all about the situation. This is a dire situation this young man's facing, and his family, and especially his mum, who's been targeted by these scumbags. And they're doing nothing about it. It's so wrong. Thank goodness we've got this radio show, Sonny. Thank goodness we've got this radio show. So we put it out there. People know,
yeah,
there might be people listening who can help some way or other, Sonny. Guaranteed, we got good friends out there that we can look into these this situation, mate. You need some, so your family needs some sort of protection. And one way or another, we'll have to sort something out, won't we, mate?
Kel,
Oh, sorry, Sonny, go ahead, sorry.
I did say to them, because they said, oh, we can't sort this, and I said, well, that's my seven-year-old, this is my family. I said, this goes any further. I said, they threaten my family. I said, they threaten to groom my sisters, my little sisters. I said, and by God, I said, I don't care what you do. What care you sentencing me for? What David Cameron thinks of it? I said, they will feel the wrath of my right hand. I will not allow it. And I tell you now, I don't care what says. I'm not a violent person. I'm not violent. I don't go out to cause trouble. But I tell you what, when it comes, it hits home. When it happens to your family and the police won't do nothing about it, I will say publicly, I don't care. When it comes to my seven-year-old sister and the threats of grooming, they will feel the wrath of my right hand. And David Cameron won't like
well,
that. And this is
and
what
you know what,
Sonny?
I think any one of us would do the same. There you go, ladies and gentlemen, you're hearing Sonny's first hand details of the things that's happening to his family.
Oh,
and the police are doing absolutely sorry, Gail.
No, it makes me ill, and I posted in the chat room that we need the Second Amendment like the United States has, and believe me, Sonny, if you had the Second Amendment, you wouldn't have to worry about tying up that piece of shit. He would be eating lead, and I am so sick and tired of this, and, you know, I envy the United States and their Second Amendment, and that's their right to bear arms, and that is to fight the enemy without and within, but one thing is that you can carry in the United States, and you can shoot and ask questions later, not like in Canada where I am, for example. You know what I have to go through to arm myself, to protect my own home? This is insane. This is insanity. I can get my firearm, and I can get my ammunition, right? And what I do is that I have my firearm, and I have my ammunition, but I have to lock up the ammunition in a separate box and lock up my firearm in another box. And, oh, by the time the intruder is, ready to strangle me in my bed, it's like, oh, hang on, can you wait a minute? I have to get my firearm and load it. And, oh, hang on, I lost my key. Hang on a sec. I got to go to my lockbox and get my firearm and my ammunition. And please, intruder, please hold off for a sec. Yeah, right. It's not like that in the United States at all. If somebody enters their home, they're eating lead right away. And, Sonny, damn it, I wish that the UK would get their guns back.
Okay.
Can I say?
Carry on. Sorry.
I was just going to say. I mean, I'm listening to this, and I'm reminded of parallels with a case that we had in this country about 14 or 15 years ago, where a farmer called Tony Martin, who was subject to a lot of harassment by petty criminals, basically breaking into his farmhouse, he armed himself one night and was there with a shotgun when they broke in, and he shot two of them, killed one, severely wounded another, and he was sentenced. He was arrested for murder for defending his own property, and that actually caused quite an outcry at the time. And what it has led to in the intervening 15 years is a certain, I know what the police officers told you, Sonny, but the fact is that if you are in fear of your life when somebody breaks in, okay, and you would be, okay, if you were there protecting your sisters and a couple of these Muslim scumbags broke in or entered your home without your permission, you would be in fear of your life, all right? So take that as a given, all right? You then have a lot more latitude in what you do in order to repel those invaders. Forget all this tie them up or sit on them for 9.5 minutes, but make sure you let them go after that. If you are in fear of your life, which you would be, I guarantee you would be, never forget that. If you're in that position, Sonny, and you find yourself up against one or more than one guy in your house that isn't supposed to be there, you are in fear of your life. You would be, all right? That's a given. And you then have a lot more latitude in what you can do. All right. Now, it's not for me to say what you should do, but what you should not do is be constrained by thoughts of what might happen to you if this guy was accidentally to trip over and fall on a carving knife, for example, which he might, because these people are very clumsy.
Well, it happens.
It happens, it happens. They trip and they fall on carving knives all the time, you know,
or
something like that.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying to you is, although I obviously can't advise you to take specific steps, what I can say is that the law will look a lot more kindly on you at this point in time than they might have done 14 or 15 years ago. Forget what the police officer says about tying them up for 5 minutes and then letting them go or making them a cup of tea while the police take 2 or 3 hours to call round. Forget that. Just remember, you'll be in fear of your life. You will be, okay? And under those circumstances, if you can put your hand on your heart and say, I'm in fear of my life, which you will, then you have a lot more latitude open to you. And that's all I would say on that subject. So don't worry.
Always call
999
because the call is monitored. If you make a 999 call, that's monitored, and they can't hush that away, the police. It's there. It's on the record. That goes straight to Scotland Yard. When you make a 999 call, that's automatically transferred from Scotland Yard
but
to the appropriate...
That's good advice from Jeff. I was just going to say the other thing that I was thinking of as I was speaking was, all right, we may not have the Second Amendment here at the moment, and we may not have the ability to defend ourselves with firearms at the moment. However, what we do have is EDL Blog Talk Radio, and if we have, and this is coming out of New York, okay? So what we say here, in digital format, coming out of New York, nobody can say who said what on this show because it's all digital, and it's not like they can tell who said what and whether a tape was spliced or whether a particular recording was of an actual person speaking or whether it was put together from a composite makeup of digital components. Okay. Bear with me when I'm telling you this. What I'm saying is that because this show is coming out of New York, okay, and it's in digital format, you've got a little bit of latitude in what you say, insofar as nobody can say a particular phrase came from you at a particular time on this show. They cannot say that. That cannot be proved in a court of law. So you can say things on a show like this that you perhaps couldn't say face-to-face if it was being recorded by an ordinary tape recorder. Okay, so bear that one in mind.
Good point.
And let me say that if we have an example of known people whose names and addresses and all their details are known, there is absolutely nothing to stop you broadcasting everything about that person on Blog Talk Radio quite clearly for the benefit of the listeners. Now, that's something you cannot do on Twitter or Facebook or other forms of social media, because to broadcast somebody's name and address and telephone number on social media or a means whereby they could be contacted, that's frowned on. And if you did it on Twitter, you'd probably be arrested straight away. And probably the same is true of Facebook. But on Blog Talk Radio, I nearly said nobody can hear you scream on Blog Talk Radio. What I mean by that is on Blog Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio comes out of the United States. It doesn't come out of England. And it comes out in a digital stream of bits. So nobody can say in a court of law that, I mean, I'm talking here, but you don't know it's me. It's a voice that sounds like me. It could be words that I might have spoken in a different order that have been put together by somebody else in order to discredit me. Nobody can prove that one way or the other in a court of law. So while we have Blog Talk Radio, why do we not consider the possibility of perhaps broadcasting the names and addresses and telephone numbers of people who are behaving in this fashion and flouting the law and threatening people and putting them in fear of their lives in different parts of the country? Because
no, I think what we've got before we do that, though, Tim, we've really got to find out the thesis of Blog Talk Radio, the way they might look upon it, just in case we get ourselves closed down if we was to put anything. So I think we would need to take a little bit of legal advice before we do anything like that, just to be on the safe side, because we could do it and find ourselves in really hot water. You know,
well, fair enough. Then.
I think we've got to be a little bit
careful. If you want to stick with the original point that I made, that when somebody breaks into your house and threatens you in a way that puts you in fear of your life, you've got a lot more latitude than you might otherwise have had.
I agree with you, Tim. Spot on there. And well, I was going to say, ladies and gentlemen, as you might have been listening to what's been going on with Sonny, and it's just not Sonny, but these stories that Sonny's relating to us, it's going on all over the country, and probably even where you might live, you might have come across things like just what's happening to Sonny. So if you want to call in, and I'm going to use my the EDL jingle this not tonight, if you want to call in, here we go.
We're coming.
If you would like to join in the conversation and air your views, you can call us on Skype through Blog Talk Radio, which is free to use, or by dialing 001-858-777-5934. That's 001-858-777-5934. EDL Radio.
So there you go, guys. So if you want to, maybe there's something you want to talk about what we've been discussing, what's been going on with Sonny. Maybe you'd like to call in on the show, because we're here to take your calls. And I say this is a platform. This is what we've always said. This is your platform. maybe something like that happened to you. Maybe you want to call in with a story that might be very similar to Sonny's. That you might want to relay with us as well. So please do, you know, please call in. As I say, this is your platform. But I think we lost Sonny, but I think he's back again. Let me see. Yeah, you're back now, Sonny.
Yep, he's back.
Yeah, also, I did want to say what Tim said earlier about defending yourself. Also, people might want to know, medical professionals actually say that if someone attacks you or you're in fear of your life, for that first 30 seconds, it is your brain's natural instinct to then defend yourself without thinking about it. It is your body's first defense to react and
survival
retaliate
mode.
Within the first 30 seconds.
It's called survival mode. It's just something that you do, Sonny, and I think Put in a situation, I think we all go into a type of survival mode, especially when you know, it could be quite a nasty outcome if we didn't defend ourselves and our families. I mean, it seems a very sad state of affairs where we got to speak out against these things, because our police, who are paid money and the taxes to look after the citizens of this country's interests and make sure that they're safe, are neglecting their duties. And I think it's very sad, because you know, who else is there for you? What we got to hire security people to look after our interests, and then you say, oh, we can't have that sort of thing. But the case will come where people like Sonny and other people need security, and if you're not doing your job, a security force will probably be out there to look after our patriots' interests. So, you know, you don't do your job, and then we put people on the streets who will do the job and look after our citizens. I don't know what you think about that, Sonny and Tim and Kel, but if they can't look after people like Sonny and his family, we need people who will sort of stand well, up yeah. and do
what,
their job.
What you've got to remember, of course, is that the way we live in this country, we have a contract, if you like, between ourselves and the state. We pay taxes to the state when we are lucky enough to have a job and we go about our lives, but the taxes that we pay are then used in part in order to protect us. The state agrees to provide a certain level of protection to us as citizens of the state. Now, if they break their part of the contract, we are not obliged to carry on that contract if the other side has broken it. And that's just something to remember for the future. I'm not saying you should immediately stop paying your taxes or whatever, but I do think that we ought to re-evaluate the contract that we as individuals have with the state and consider whether the state is doing everything that it should be doing in order to fulfill its part of the bargain. Because it seems to me that we as individuals frequently get a very poor deal from the state, especially us as indigenous Britons in this country get a very poor deal from the state, because the state is far too busy pandering to other groups who do not have our best interests at heart. Well, that can only go on for so long, and you would need to be mindful that it is a contract, and if the state persists in breaking their part of the bargain or the contract that we have, there will eventually be consequences. Now, like I say, I don't suggest for a minute that you go out and stop paying your taxes tomorrow, nice though that might be for people, but it's just a point worth remembering.
I think that's a great point you made there, Sim. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have a moving forward on the line who would like to weigh in on this, Jess.
Okay.
Yay.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have moving forward on the show anytime. Moving forward, good to have you on the show this evening, brother, and I hope you're well.
Oh, hey, Jeff, and hey, Tim. Hey, by the way, good luck Tuesday, my friend.
Thank you, moving.
Word.
Much appreciated.
And thanks, Raquel, for taking the call. I guess,
absolutely, moving.
I guess
always
the discussion was about I guess the discussion was about being able to protect yourself. And I know that so many people, the American people and people all over the world are on the fence about like the U.S. Second Amendment, right to bear arms, stuff like that. But think about something, just some perspective. Since 9/11, when the World Trade Center was blew up and this whole machine started to, respond to this jihadi Wahhabi onslaught that the United States and other places experienced, we sent the UK, the United States, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, NATO, all kinds of folks sent their troops to Iraq and Afghanistan for, whatever reasons, right? But did you know, in Iraq and in Afghanistan and all those countries that we helped out with our money, with our dollars, and with our blood from our troops, do you know they have the right to bear arms? They have automatic weapons.
Yes.
Every household can defend themselves. No questions asked, because not only are they still dealing with issues, but those same issues have come here to America and to the UK and other places. So they get the right to bear arms that we spilled our blood for, but we don't. And that's my rub. That's my concern. And, another thing is the geographic mix of our cultures. I mean, a lot of us are getting up in years, and just me moving. I'm not young anymore. So,
not me, mate.
in my area near Baltimore and near Washington D.C. and Philadelphia, and all these big cities I frequent, I'm not going to be able to fend off these you know, jihadis, these criminals that are doing these home invasions. And within just a few miles of me, there's been several home invasions, people coming up in the houses at 5 o'clock in the morning, kicking in the door and taking everything and beating up the occupants. I mean, that's irrefutable fact. Those things are going on all across America, all across America. You've got
so
home invasions.
So what we're saying is that we're getting story from your side of the pond there, that it's what we're getting, the situation is you're getting it in America, the same sort of a setup. Intimidation, this, that, and the other, isn't it? Trying to drive people out of their homes and want to move to different areas. So, and then the Muslims move into that area. And am I correct? Is that what they're trying to do? Would you say your side as well, moving?
Well, I would say that there's a lot of responsible communities, like where I live in my county in Maryland, is very responsible. A lot of gun owners, a lot of good people. But there have been these home invasions going on. And people have, quite frankly, I went to the rifle range today, and there was, you couldn't get a lane. I mean,
really?
It was packed.
Great.
And we do have a very low crime rate compared to what's going on in the larger urban areas. But when you get to when you get to be 50 or 60 years old, you can't defend yourself from three, you know, younger assaulting people, and it's both men and women that coming in and invading these homes. We spilled our service members' blood this last decade just so they can have the right to bear arms and defend themselves and get on with life. And they're taking the right for us more senior people. They're trying to take our guns, and they're trying to say you can't defend yourself. And well, you know, I just wanted to call in with that point. We have to be able to defend ourselves.
You make a very
good
point.
We have to be able to have free ability to do that.
Yeah, well, you should be able to defend yourself in whatever situation. I think that's what we're coming to, is whatever situation, you should, self-defense. You should be able to defend yourself with what Sonny was saying, and you say it's the people that's been having these house invasions happening, they're trying to cause you harm. They're trying to, take away, I've always been told, as a young man growing up, a home is your castle, and that's the way it always has been with the good people in this country. But it seems these days that if you try to defend your home, that you can come under the scrutiny of the law, and you can be classed as the main factor, and end up do some serious time for defending your home, protecting your life or your family. But my view is a little bit different than Tim. That I say, if anybody tries to break into your home, you do what you've got to do, ladies and gentlemen. This is what I say. I know I would. I've got to speak as just an individual person, that if that was to come about me, I would do something, and that would be, whatever the consequences might be, it's too bad. Shouldn't be trying to get in my home, shouldn't try to get into trying to hurt me or my family.
I
think most of us look at it that way. Sorry, moving. Go ahead.
Yeah,
sorry.
Jeff, I won't beleaguer the time on this awesome show, because I always enjoy this show. Just hearing what.
Well, we love having you here. It's always a pleasure. When I see you in the chat room, it's great to have you here, and it's always great to take your call. Fantastic.
Yeah. I do have one thing I want to say, Jeff, and that is we're paying our tax dollars here in the U.S., and I'm sure you are in the U.K. So these other countries in the Middle East and all these different countries can own weapons and defend themselves from the same things we're trying to defend ourselves from here. And there's something wrong with that. I mean, I think they need to let us defend ourselves, in our own countries, and start focusing.
Well,
on
I agree with you. What can I say?
Yeah.
I think all of us sitting in here in the chat room this evening, and if we sit in the studio, would not do it with that statement there. We should all be able to
defend. Awesome. I'm going to jump off, Jeff. Take care now, brother.
Okay, moving. Anytime, brother. It's always a pleasure taking your call. Thank you very much for calling in tonight.
Good luck.
Speak to you soon, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, moving.
Great call. great call. Yeah, Movie made some really good, valid points there. As I say, it's always great to take one of our callers coming this evening. Moving forward, should I say. But I was going to say, Kel, I'm just looking at the time, and I'm going to have to take a short break for this just before we come to the top of the bottom of the hour. So I was wondering, do you know what, Kel? I meant to chat to you earlier about you, but I'll talk to you after the show about something that we haven't played for a little while. You know my favourite one. I used to like playing a bit. The Templar's Oath, and I was wondering when we get a chance maybe we can play that, but it might be right down the bottom. Maybe you've got something lined up already, so whatever you've got for the our listeners, that would be great, Kel.
I have it right here if you want it.
Shall we play? Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me often talk about this is the Knight Templar's Oath, and there's a YouTube of this tune that Kel's going to play. Really, truly, when you play this tune, when this tune's played, you need to be looking at the words of the Knight Templar, protecting what's right, Christianity, all the good things that we would expect, of good people in this world to do. And that's why I love that so much. The message is so powerful, isn't it, Kel? You've seen them.
It is.
They're powerful words. And I'll say to anybody, you get a chance, please look at those words, guys, because that's what I stand for. It's what a lot of good people in this country stand for, the good things in this this world. So with that, I'm going to pass it over to Kel, and we're going to have a break, and then we'll be back after this, and we'll probably carry on and discuss a few more issues. Maybe Sandy wants to come back and to speak a little
sure.
bit more. So he's got a busy week this week, and I know Tim. I call him Al Tim. Hark me, Al Tim. Well, we are like a
big
family, aren't
we? Well, he is Al Tim.
Yeah, he is Al Tim. Yes,
yeah, it's going to be a busy old week. Well,
it
I say
certainly
a busy
is,
old
brother.
Week. It's going to be an interesting day on Tuesday, and I'd like to right now. I'd like to thank everybody who's supported me up to now on the run up to the trial, and I'd like to thank everybody in advance who's going to actually turn up and be there on the day. I'm really looking forward to it, if truth be told, because
yes.
I think it's an opportunity to get some information out in the public domain that more people ought to know about, especially concerning aspects of Islamic doctrine. Ostensibly, it's just a racially aggravated harassment case, and ordinarily such things wouldn't normally attract much attention. But because of the circumstances and the fact that this was in response to a few tweets made about a mendacious grievance mongering taqiyya artist, and he's decided that he's going to he felt offended. I'm sure he didn't feel threatened, harassed, distressed or alarmed or whatever else makes up the requirement for harassment. I'm sure he didn't feel that at all. But he did feel offended, and he felt offended enough to go round and make the appropriate noises to our police department and to our police in the UK. And they, instead of saying, don't be so stupid, go away, grow up and get on with your life, they took him seriously and said, oh, yes, we'll have to go round and see what we can do about prosecuting Mr. Burton to the full extent of the law. All right, I'm paraphrasing.
Took them a long
bit,
time,
but,
though, Tim,
yeah,
didn't it?
Well,
get
it did.
There,
it took them 6 months. No idea why. No idea why. It actually took them 6 months to get round to me. And I was saying on the radio show a little earlier tonight that it was probably that one of the constables, after having taken Mr. Mughal's statement, found he had a wonky table leg and needed something to prop it up. And he thought, oh, a bit of paper here. I'll fold it up and prop it under the
yeah,
table
I'll
leg.
Tell you what,
and there it stayed for 6 months.
You're probably not far wrong there, Tim.
Well, yeah. You
know. I'll tell you what, mate, you're probably not far wrong there, because I know that's things do happen.
Oh, no, he is probably not, and absolutely, Tim, I so totally agree with that. And but, Jeff, you have to call in, because you are down to 1 minute before
yeah.
they start overcharging you.
Okay, thank you, Kel. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to pass it to Kel, and we'll be back after this It's a great tune. I love this. If you get a chance, please, guys, look on YouTube. It's the Knight Templar's Oath, and I think you'd like the words. It means so much to me, and if you read it, it probably means a lot to you as well. So with that, I'll pass it over to Kel. Okay, Kel.
Thank you.
and welcome back to the English Defence League radio show tonight. And as I say, that tune that you're listening to, as I say, Kel kindly put the link into the chat room, and I often sit and I listen to that and watch it, and it means so much to me. That's why I was wondering if Kel could play it, as you did, share it right there. Also, I'd like to mention as well, thanks for that, Kel, moving forward, Sam, this goes out to you, Tim, at least 5,000 prayer warriors across the US are lifting up Tim in spirit tonight. So there you go, Tim. There's a lot of people thinking about yourself, and not just yourself, but Sonny as well.
That's absolutely great. As I say, as I was saying before the break, I'm really humble, really, for the amount of support that I've received from people who've listened to me on the show and on the various other blog talk radio shows that I've been on. So I'd like to say a big thank you to everybody for all your support up to now and up on the run up to the trial, and in advance to those people who'll be turning up on the day. So thank you very much, everybody. It's really, really appreciated, and I feel very humble.
It's our
honour.
You know, the thing about it is, what you're doing. I'm sorry, Kel. Go ahead. I was just going to follow on what Tim said there, but go ahead, Kel.
Oh no! I was just saying, it's our honour. We're all in this together. And that when one is being what I consider taken to a tribunal and a kangaroo court, we all stick together. So, Tim and Sonny, it's our honor to be here, to be on your side, to help you through this.
Oh, thanks, Kel.
It's just nice to know those figures that are moving. You know, 5,000 people have got you and Sonny in their prayers. Isn't it? It's a phenomenal figure that you think about. There's so many people who really care what we do. Good people out there, and you know, what can I say? It is very humbling to know that good people, you know, are concerned what goes on in the country. What happens in the UK? A lot of people, I remember going back a while ago, and someone said they cried. They cried over some of the issues that's been going on in this country, this great country that their mother country. You know, and a lot of our good American, you know, cousins feel same, and we feel that you know that the American people, they are getting some. What you see in Dearborn and Michigan, and these sort of things of what we've been experiencing over here, these tentacles, this scourge, this jihad, this stealth jihad. Well, it's not so. It's still stealth. It's still got in stealth mode. In America, it stepped up its gear over here, as we all know, as the world knows. Anybody looking in knows exactly what's going on. Even though you got this left-wing media try to downplay the situation, you are getting a few of the media are starting to question certain things, certain aspects of what's going on. You know, like the Mail and Line, I don't often mention papers, but the Mail and Line has been actually questioning certain things lately. And, well, I don't know, is there a change happening, would you say? Maybe is it because political, there's an election in can we smell an election on the way that things are turning a little bit?
Oh, Jeff, you are so cynical. You're such a cynical man, Jeff. Mr. Cynical. Old Mr. Cynical, that's what I'm going to call you from now on.
Why not? I've been calling everything. Yeah. I'm an arachnophobe and everything else, Tim, so cynical, well.
That's right, Mr. Cynical Arachnophobe. There's a name that rolls off the tongue. A cynical arachnophobe. Yeah, I mean, you're quite right, Jeff. You're absolutely right. Of course, things are influenced, but if there's an election on the horizon, politicians are going to take decisions which are going to be affected by where they think their voting interests lie, without a doubt. It's a shame, but there we go. So, yes, on the run-up to the elections, you've always got to look at what politicians' decisions are in that light. And when they seem to be taking steps, or if they say they're going to take steps to do something which seems remotely sensible, the very first question you should ask is, how far away is the next election that is going to affect that politician's prospects? And you'll probably find it's closer than you think.
Yeah, and also I've got No Angel saying good luck, Tim, for Tuesday. Wish I could be there for you, as you've been for myself and my son Sonny and the rest of our lads. The rest of our lads.
Oh, that's
think
lovely.
You're a star. And that's
yeah,
from, that's
you,
from Sonny's mum. So
yeah, thank you.
Sonny's mum, No Angel, God bless you for those words for. For
yeah,
Tim as well.
Thank you, NJ. That's really appreciated.
NJ, I'm sorry, I read that wrong. NJ, sorry, NJ.
No, Angel.
What I like, Tim. I need new glasses, son. That's what it is.
That's not very complimentary at all. Never mind. A spelling mistake that could happen to anybody. So I think I'm sure we'll all forgive Jeff. But thank you, NJ. It really is much appreciated. And it was good meeting you on Friday. And if you're coming up again next Friday, as long as I'm not banged up, I'll definitely be there on Friday to support Sonny. And if I am banged up, perhaps you could send me a cake with a file in it. So I'll look forward to seeing you again soon.
Well, it's great to have Sonny's mum in the chat room this evening. So, as I say, Sonny, I'm really glad that Sonny's come on the show this evening and speaking out of what's been going on, because it really does highlight the issues that we discuss on these shows week in, week out, don't we? We're always discussing different stories that we hear, but when this kind of happens to someone so close to us all, especially what happened to Sonny's mum, that's it's outrageous. It makes me rage, Tim. I know it does you as well, and anybody else that's listening.
It's
police,
making me mad.
Get the truncheon out, Kel. Get the truncheon.
No, it's making me furious, in fact. I mean, I'm losing weight over this, for God's sake. I'm sick and tired. I'm sorry, but these are my friends. And if anybody listened to my Friday night show, and I don't want to plug my show, Jeff. I really don't want to do that. But I did go on a rampage on the Mad
good.
Fox
she was good
blogger. I was just furious. Yeah. And I was conveying to the listeners that, you know what, I take this very personally. When you go near my friends like Tim Burton and Sonny England, believe me, you're going to have to deal with the Mad Fox, because I'm sick and tired of it. You Muslims are going to figure out one way or the other that we're fighting back. We're not putting up with it anymore. And you know what? What Sonny is going through and what Tim will endure on Tuesday, we are going to see this as a watershed. If you're defeated, we are going to claim victory. And you know what? It's not going to be the gates of Vienna. It's going to be right here with our voices and our intellect, because we will defeat you. And don't even fucking think that you can come near us anymore after this. You stay away from my friends, and you stay away from people like Ezra Levant and Mark Stein, and you stay away from the rest of us, because you know what? We're here, we're on to you, and we've got you in our crosshairs. Damn it. Sorry, Jeff.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I was going to see if you were going to drop the F-bomb there, we can't help it, because it infuriates us. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, we're only human, and as you say, as Kel said, that's our friends. You know, Tim's a really good friend of ours, and Sonny, and other good people, other patriots who stand up for what's right, are being persecuted. A witch hunt is on for our lads and our lasses. You know, more so for the guys. There's been more guys that's been rounded up. And I don't know if Sonny's still there, Kel, because I'm in the chat room. I'm just following what's going on in the chat, and I'm just going to come back in the studio. Yeah, Sonny's there. Sonny, I forgot what I was going to say now. Anything we've been saying there, brother, that you'd like to add to, because stories has really got me and Kel, and I know it's got Tim, and I know our listeners probably really, really very angry over what we've heard this evening. So is there anything else you'd like to add to what's been going on, mate?
I guess I'm listening to it is angry. Everyone is angry. I mean, it's got to a point now. It's repetitively happening. But I follow one saying, and I have one message to put out there for the likes of Anjum Chowdhury and Abu Izzedin and the rest of them scum bastards and the Muslim movement and these scum, is that you will play with fire. In the end, you're going to get burnt with it. You trip up. And every dog will have its day. You know, the thing is, we will just bide our time. And the way things are happening at the minute, we are staying silent. We're still staying peaceful. But for a minute, if you think that you've been to our countries, one minute you think you can bring your dirty flip-wearing selves into this country or into America and rape our children and attack our soldiers and our working-class people of these great countries, then you've got another thing coming. Because I'll tell you what, the smite of the right boot is going to come straight down on top of your head and you won't feel the pressure. You won't even know it's coming. It will hit you that hard. Three generations down the line are going to feel it. And that is my message, because I'm angry. I'm sick of being the no voice in Britain. I'm sick of being the working class man. And as you, David Cameron, because I know you can get the links, I know you've got people listening in on us, is you will never defeat us. We're not going away for people like you. You little scumbag, are going to have your day. And that's all I have to say.
But, well, I can say that is, Sonny, you know the way I feel about the Cameron regime and him in himself as a person. When he, because I'll never forget what he said, that he was going to war with the EDL, that we should accommodate the Muslims instead of the Muslims sort of blending with us. The things he said, he's a traitor. He's a traitor. Cameron, you're a traitor to the people of this country. And as Sonny said, one day you'll pay. You'll pay the reaper. One day, don't matter when, but down the lines, there'll be that day. And I'll tell you what, you are ratcheting things up right now, aren't you, Mr. Cameron? And all you're doing is bringing more anger upon the great working class people in this country. Not just the working class, but there's other people that's involved with the English Defence League. You think we're just ordinary, just working class people? We got people all over the place that are in high-flying jobs and that, that we don't speak too much about. You think that we're just, we're going to go silently away? No way. No way. What you've done, and the people like yourself, have opened up a can of worms. And this can of worms, you know what? We're going to put things right. The people, for the people, not people like yourself and the elitists out there. We're for the people. We're for everybody. We believe in rights for everybody. And the way you've been disrespecting the good people in this country, the words that you said about us being a sickness, you don't know how you've been flamed. You caused me to go on my personal crusade against you and your regime. So there you go. I've got. Sorry about that. Guys, I just had to get it out there. Get it off my chest. It has to be said, didn't it, Sammy, mate? It has to be said.
I'm glad
it does, mate. If I tell you, I'm sitting here silently just listening to it. I mean, the last couple of days, I've had time to think to myself, and met people like Tim and grew up with a great family and have great friends that supported me and seen how this country was, 10 years ago, how it should be, and just to think that because he's got into 10 Downing Street. Well, guess what, Sunshine? He can't sit behind his front door forever. And like I said, he's older than me. I'm going to outlive him. So he can continue his riff-raff and his jibber-jabber crap that he wants to keep blowing out. But when he's gone, I'm going to keep on. And then when my time passes, I'll see him again soon, wherever I do see him, whether it's an afterlife or anything else. And then I can get my revenge on him, because he won't be behind a number 10 in a street. It'll just be that person. And I'll tell you what, I'll drag him down a few notches. Because this guy's a scumbag, just like Barack Obama. I'm sick of it. We are working class people. We work hard. We're normal people. We're the Sikhs. We're the British. We're the Hindus, you know. We're the Christians in this country. And I'm sick to death that scumbag, because he's got a roll of notes in his pocket and he sits in a big smash flash house that he can tell everyone what to do. I'll tell you what, ladies and gents, it's time that he stood up. He said no. You tell him stick it up his yin yang and we've taken our country back. This is England.
Well said, Sonny. You know what, mate, that was said from the heart. And this is what we, you know, myself and everybody that's associated with this show, this is what the listeners want to hear. They want to hear our passion, the way we feel about our country, the love of one's country, and doing the right thing. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, I don't know what you think about the English eventually, but we're just everyday good people just trying to protect the future generations and what we've got, what I had as a young man growing up, and what I see now. And the deprivation that's crept into our societies because of the dimitude of politicians down the line, political correctness getting a cancerous grip on our nations. I've seen the demise of different nations, great nations, countries like Sweden, Norway, places like that they've got this absolutely epidemic of rapes going on. We see, ladies and gentlemen, we're not just saying it, it's out there, it's in the public domain. It's absolutely awful what's going across Europe. And now we call for everybody to come together as one. We need to unite. We need to tell these people, put these people in their place. We've done it before. It's our time to do once again. It's our time has come to do what our ancestors have done way before us. Many generations have to fight this fight. We do it in our own ways. We do it with what the radio show is doing. We're recruiting people. This is the recruiting drive, calling for the free people of this world to come together because it's our time. It's our time now. Kel, anything you'd like to add to anything I've just said?
Well, I think it is about time, and I'm very proud of you, Sonny, and those are that's reassuring to me. That is something that all of us can do, and this is the importance of the EDL radio show in the UK and other radio shows out of North America or Australia, in that we are speaking up about the scourge, and we are exposing them one by one by one. And I like what Agador said in the chat room. He said, what happens when you open up a can of worms? They go everywhere. And what do you do when you try to put them back in the can? You don't get them all. And that is Islam to me. It's nothing. We opened up a can of worms when we introduced them and invited them to assimilate into our Western societies. We thought that we were being benevolent, but we're not. We opened up that can of worms, and now how are we going to get them the hell back in there? You know what? I don't know what's going to develop down the road, but all I know at right here and right now is that they are using every single form of jihad against us, whether that be kinetic, whether that be spiritual, whether that be legal, whether that be whatever, lawsuits. This is just enough. Enough is enough. Sonny did nothing wrong. Somebody threw a can at him. He picked it up and he tossed it back, because I would do the same thing. As a matter of fact, Sonny showed restraint. I would not be as restrained back in. I would have picked up that can and probably jumped across the street and shoved it down their fucking throats. But you know what? Sonny showed more restraint, and now look what's happening to him. And I'm sorry, Jeff. I'm going to mute myself because I'm really getting worked up over this because I'm mad. And now they're taking Tim to court. Like, come on. Enough is enough. You know, we have to get out there, ladies and gentlemen. We have smart voters. We have very smart listeners right here in the chat room. You people are smart. You've got to encourage people to get out there and vote. Vote, because that's all we have. We have to break down the voting blocks. We have to stop down the pandering of our politicians, okay? We have to get the word out that there is a real issue going on, and that is Islam. We have to break down CARE, the Council of Islamic Relations. We have to start breaking down these Muslim Brotherhood front groups, and we have to start exploring exactly what is Islam's ultimate goal. Well, you know what? I think we have figured that out. I think that they are engaged on their own crusade, and that is called the Caliphate, and they're here, and they are beating us, guys. They're beating us. So get out there, vote. And drill your politician, drill your candidate, and ask them blunt questions. What are you going to do about organizations, for example, like CARE, the Council of American Islamic Relations, in which they are so upset because a documentary is being shown exposing Sharia law in the United States. And people like Megyn Kelly are saying, go to hell, this is my documentary, I'm going to air it on Fox News. What are you going to do? CARE is opposing that because they call it Islamophobia. Well, what are you going to do about that? What can we do about that? We have to drill our candidates. We have to drill the politicians. We have to send emails. We have to phone them. And we have to get petitions together. Because this is, you know what? This is all we've got right now. That's it. That's it. That's all we have. We have to get busy, folks. My life is too short. I can't do it on my own. But I'll be damned if I leave this for my grandchildren. Jeff?
Yeah, well, so, Kel, I was going to, Kel, just to let you know what Tim said. You know, we were talking about opening up a can of worms. Well, Tim says, what happens if we open up a can of spiders? Now, thank you, Tim. Thank you for highlighting that my arachnophobe bit about me.
You've got arachnophobia,
one might call
Jeff?
Up his trouser leg. Thank you, Kel.
You've got arachnophobia, Jeff, you should have said. Well, I'd never have posted anything like that if
Tim?
I'd known. You should have said, yeah. I'd never have teased you otherwise.
Yeah. Of course not.
Did you like
that's
your
why
blue
I get
spider?
Spiders all the time on my Facebook page.
I sent you a blue spider today.
Did you?
I did.
Tell you what, Just to come off the board a little bit,
sir, there's a multi-legged creature crawling on your shoulder.
Oh, my God, thank you, Kel. I would like... what you guys like, pick on me because I'm an arachnophobe. My goodness me. I'm going to probably have a spider convention give me a call and emailing me and God knows what else. But,
make sure you advertise it on the web so, you know, people know.
Oh, Tim.
Jeff. What you like. Agador sent that to you. That's courtesy of Agador, okay?
Thank you, Agador. Even my mate Agador's in on it now. Oh, dear. But, anyway, I was going to say, just that I was coming off the board a little bit, I was just going to say, anybody seen the size of who's living in the UK, have you seen the size of some of these wasps now? My goodness me, they're huge. Ladies and gentlemen,
yeah.
I had a wasp crawling up my arm the other day. I didn't realise what it was. I brushed my eye and I see the size of it. It was about an inch big. Honestly, it was about an inch big. It was one of the biggest wasps I've seen. So there's a lot of them. So they call them the European wasps. But I just wanted to just gauge if anybody
bloody,
else has
bloody
seen
European wasps coming over here.
Yes.
Taking our jobs.
I think they must be killing off the little wasps because they're... Well, they might be the predators, and so I heard. So I don't know. It's just that one was on my arm the other day. And you know what they're like. I tried catching one and killing it in my hands, and it stung me about 7 times it did before. So they're not easy to kill. Super wasp. Yeah, that's it. Okay, you guys are getting those super wasps. Yes, we are, Agador. And they are huge, absolutely huge. But anyway, it's just something I went off the board a little bit. But Kel, is there anything else that we want to be discussing this evening? I say we're coming up to the top of the hour very soon, and the time is really going quick as it normally does when we do these shows. So is there anything in particular that we wanted to discuss this evening on the next part of the show?
Well, Hitler married a Jew, apparently.
Oh. Okay. Where did that come from?
I No. Well, you asked me. I told you. I was reading the dailies today, and gentlemen, this is rather interesting. Apparently, Eva Braun had strains of DNA in her, in that which suggests that she was an Ashkenazi Jew. And actually, how do you pronounce that properly?
Ashkenazi.
Ashkenazi Jew. Yeah. That's it. Thanks, Tim.
Yeah,
and,
no worries.
Yeah, they did a DNA test, and they found out that she might have had a Jewish ancestry. And I think that would flip him around big time, and knowing that his bride that he married was actually an Ashkenazi. So I found that rather fascinating. Now, the claim is the latest in a series of discoveries by the program, which has also drawn conclusions about the cause of Elvis' death and claimed Charles Dickens had Crohn's disease. This comes from a radio show or a television show. But it is, I'm sure it's bogus. I don't know if it is. But if it's true, this would be poetic justice.
Hmm. My goodness me, it seems after, you know, all them years, all these things are coming to light. But we normally find that, though, don't we, that all of a sudden, after a number of times, as time goes by in history, we find out all these very interesting, you know, things that's turning up. What would you say? Do you sound like poetic justice?
Actually, believe it or not, this comes from Channel 4, and that is their program called Dead Famous DNA.
Dead Famous DNA. Well, there you go. That's one that you won't forget in a hurry, will you?
Like I say, they always make discoveries. Like they have drawn conclusions about Elvis Presley and Charles Dickens and his Crohn's disease. So it's fascinating to me. Wouldn't that be something else, though, if it turned out that Eva Braun, that was verified? Because, like I say, poetic justice, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, yes, very much so. And, I hope we hear more about this story because, as you say, it does add another twist to the story, doesn't it, of their relationship. So, maybe it's something we can dig a little bit more into, Claire, when we see what else we can find out. Sounds interesting, one of our shows, doesn't it? Very interesting. But, I was going to say, we're just coming up to the top of the hour, and once again, we've had a really busy chat room this evening, and I was wondering, Kel, maybe you'd like to do a rundown of the our great guests we got in this evening. I was wondering if you could do that, please.
Absolutely. And joining us in the studio, of course, is the host of EDL Radio, and that would be Jeff Mitchell, and I'm his producer. I'm Kel Frizzi. Tim Burton of Cat Strangler 101, the Birmingham One, is joining us. We have Sweet Sue from New Mexico listening in on the line, and we had Sunny join us on the line, and we had Moving joining us on the line there, Jeff. In the chat room, we've had various people pop in and out, but we have Agador, who sent me that spider clip to terrify you. We have Bigfoot, bigfootsplace.com. We have EDL Mink, who is my buddy.
Right.
Eric Kyle, our buddies, actually. We have numerous guests in the chat room here, Jeff. We have Holger Awakens, who had a fantastic show last night. If you can get to Holger Awakens on Blog Talk Radio and listen to that program from last night, oh, my gosh. He knocked it out of the park again.
Well done,
we have
Holger.
We have Michael Girardi, Moving Forward, like I say, who called it, NJ Angel. And we have that little brat named Annie of Southern Senses Conservative.
Annie. God bless that.
And, of course, we have Stanger73, My Voice, who you can also hear on Blog Talk Radio Saturday nights at 11 p.m., and that is with Rooster, and that is the Rooster Crows at Night. So we had so many people here, Jeff. It's just unbelievable. And there you go.
Well, thank you very much. As I say, we, you know, talking about Stang, we had Stanger call in on the show, was it last Friday? And it was good to hear you call in, Stanger. Moving forward, it's always a pleasure that you called in tonight. And to all of our guests in the chat room this evening, thank you so much for being here and supporting the show and supporting the EDO and what we're doing. It's really appreciated that we have got so much support. And, of course, to all of our listeners, wherever you might be around the world, thank you so much for tuning into the shows as you do. And, you know, we tell it how it is, and we do get rather angry with certain things, especially what's been going on to Tommy and to Sonny and to Tim. These are our friends, ladies and gentlemen, and of course they are being, it's like a witch hunt going on in this country for freedom loving people.
Carry on though, Jeff, I have a message from No Way 90 and Angry Mom, and that they usually listen to the show live, but because it's No Way 90's birthday today, they're going to be listening in archive later. So I was thinking maybe we could play a little birthday song.
Yes, please, Kel. Whoa, No Way's birthday.
He turned 50
happy birthday,
today.
Brother.
Yep.
Happy
and they sent
birthday,
me a tweet,
brother.
And here we go.
Oh.
Happy birthday to... Happy birthday to... Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to you.
Yeah. There you go. No Way. We do it in our own special way, don't we, Kel? But anyway, do you know what, Kel? I'm gonna sing a little bit for No Way because he's such a great guy.
Okay.
I'm gonna sing Happy Birthday. So here we go. Me. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear No Way. Happy birthday to you. And many, many more.
There you go,
No Way. So there you go. That goes out especially to our No Way. Good man, great shows. So, yeah, to everybody, I mean, we've got some great people sitting in the chat and receiving with their own great shows. We've got to say it once again, I've got to promote Blog Talk Radio to being a fantastic place to be. Yes, we get technical problems now and again, Blog Talk Radio listening. We do know that, but we know it's a great platform, whatever. We sometimes got no choice but to put up with the issues, but they normally resolve them. But it is... best platform I've been on to be able to do as I've been a radio host for the English Defence League radio show, and it's just a great place for the other hosts and the what we do these other great shows. So yeah, so I'll promote it, Kel, because it's a great place to be, isn't it? Blog Talk Radio, you've got loads of things. People listen, you look at the sections. There's so many sections for this program, isn't there, Kel? You know, it's just not what, you know, what we discuss, things like that, but other great, you know, things that is on Blog Talk Radio shows. So there you go. Right, have we got anybody that's ready to come in at all? Not remember what it's... let me see. The Birmingham One.
Oh, we have all sorts of people. Yeah. A few more walked in. So here, Jeff, let me do this again. Agador, Bigfoot, EDL Minx, Eric Kyle, Getting for Freedom, numerous guests, Holger Awakens, let me bring the screen down, Michael Giraldi, Moving Forward, NG Angel, Southern Senses Common Sense, and Stanger 73, and Sue from New Mexico, and Sonny and Tim on the air with us.
Absolutely. Whoa, that's awesome. Absolutely awesome tonight. I'm just closing something down for a second here. That's it. I've just minimised something because all my screen was all it was messed up, Kel. And I'd like to see what's going on with the chat and what's going on in the studio. Yes, Tim, as I say, we know next day and a half that you've got your appearance at the... Is it the Crown or is it the Magistrates that you've got to appear?
No, it's the Magistrates Court.
Yes.
Originally, what happened was when I was originally charged, I was asked whether I would want to go to Crown Court or have it tried at the Magistrates Court. And at the time, I had no real idea about how things were going to develop, and my solicitor advised me to go to the Magistrates Court. And I suppose there's an argument that knowing what I know now and knowing the level of support that I've had and knowing how the issues have developed, there might have been an argument actually for selecting Crown Court rather than Magistrates Court, because it would be a great opportunity to publicise the issues involved in terms of Islamic doctrine and theology and the importance of concepts like freedom of speech and how they're being usurped. It would have been better, perhaps, in some respects, to have given that the outing it deserved at Crown Court. But it's easy with 2020 hindsight to say things like that, and I suppose the only thing I can say is, if it all goes pear-shaped on Tuesday and I end up in a cell waiting for somebody to send me a cake with a file in it, then at least I will get the opportunity to appeal it to Crown Court at a later time. And as far as I'm concerned, all publicity is good publicity when it comes to a cause like this, because the only way the only way that Islam is progressing in the way that it is through keeping everybody in the dark. And if the majority of people of goodwill in this country really understood all the issues involved with Islam and how the encroachment of Islam proceeds because Muslims lie about it routinely at every opportunity to non-Muslims about its true nature, if that were widely known, nobody would stand for it. We would just say, right, that's it, enough, take Islam and get it out of our country. You know, we wouldn't stand for it any longer. And so I think, we may not have reached the audience we might in the Magistrates Court, but we still might get a crack at presenting our case again in Crown Court at some point in the future. So I'm really looking forward to it. And even though it could all go wrong on the day, I feel really honoured in a way that I'm in a position where I can stand up and I can put my case forward. And even if it all goes against me, at least I've had the opportunity to stand up and do that. And if it all goes wrong, I'll have an opportunity again at some point in the future. So, you know, it's not all bad news. But yet, Magistrates Court on Tuesday. The Crown Court is only just around the corner, so if you do find yourself there, all you've got to do is walk 2 minutes down Corporation Street and you'll get to the Magistrates Court, and that's where I'll be. So I'm looking forward to seeing you all, those of you who can turn up on Tuesday, and those of you who can't turn up but have supported me in the past and I'm sure will continue to support me in the future. Thank you very much again. I really do appreciate it, and like I say, I feel very honoured, and as I said before, but I'll say it again, I feel very humbled too. So thank you very much again, everybody.
Well,
I'm looking forward to staying in the chat room, Tim. Don't forget to bring your Rolex.
Oh yeah, I nearly forgot about the Rolex. Yeah, I'll have my gold Rolex with me when I turn up.
What you should do? You should
What's
wear
that?
A trench coat full of Rolexes and say, "Hey,
oh, dear.
Open up your trench coat." Hey, do you want to make a deal?
Aren't they, Tim?
Let's make a deal.
Oh dear. Yeah.
Oh, this is terrible.
But even though we are joking about things, there is, as I say, the serious aspect. It's still Tim got to stand up there and...
Dad, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. No, it's...
But,
if I were a betting man, okay, I'd say that I've got a slightly better than evens chance of presenting my arguments, and if any reasonable judge or magistrate hears those arguments, I think I ought to get an acquittal. But you can never tell on the day who you're going to get, what counter-arguments might be put forward, whether or not the level of political correctness and multiculturalism has extended to corrupt the judiciary. You just don't know. And so it's a bit of a gamble, you know. So we'll just have to see how it goes. But, yeah, you know, it is serious. I could literally be facing...
Yeah, I think most of us know, Tim, that there is a very serious aspect on the what could turn out. But, most of us are optimistic with the way that you're going to have your case presented, Tim, and hopefully you'll get people with common sense in it instead of being driven by political correctness will quite understand the point that you're making and will take that on board and make the right judgment on that day. That's all we hope is common sense,
I certainly hope so, but I mean, whatever way it goes, I'd like people to remember that what I'm facing is a relatively small penalty compared to what I have seen recently with some of our lads who've been... I don't like to use the term stitched up, but I can't think of a better term. And they're facing penalties which are greater than mine, and they've done, arguably, a lot less than what I've done. I mean, I deliberately set out to do what I did. I didn't know it was going to have the effect that it did, but nevertheless, I deliberately set out to do these things. Whereas some of these lads that are facing charges that I've been to Crown Court to see in the past 2 weeks, they haven't deliberately gone out to cause a great deal of trouble. They've been in the wrong place at the wrong time, and they have been badly treated. And I want you guys to think of those people and think, give them as much support as you've given me, because they deserve it a lot more than I do, I think.
Yeah, I would like, just like you said there, Tim, it wasn't that these lads was in the wrong place at the wrong time. These lads was in the right place at the right time. It's just the way that the hierarchy and the camera regime have wanted to put the pressure on these lads. Let's call it as if what it is, Tim. These lads were there for that day because we had a demonstration in Birmingham, right? And that was the whole case. They was there for the thing. So I just had to just, I hope you didn't mind me.
I should have made my statement a bit clearer. When I say in the wrong place at the wrong time, what I mean is if you throw a can of beer on the ground or if you shout something at the old Bill, and you get arrested for that and you get charged with something totally disproportionate, then when I say in the wrong place at the time, what I mean is if they'd been perhaps on the other side of the demonstration, then they might not have been picked up and had the treatment
that
they
had. Yeah, I think that's a good value. I just wanted to say it because they was there.
Yeah.
All these lads were there.
Oh, I absolutely
been
agree
arrested.
With that. Oh yeah,
all these lads
have
been arrested was in
this
the right place.
This is going
place,
to be
you know,
a precedent. But Jeff, Sonny is back, and he's got some important news that he wants to convey with you.
Okay, Sonny, welcome back, buddy. Yes, you're on, boy.
Right, I just want to tell you guys, because I'm going to have to come off air, because I've just had a phone call from my mother. We've got two or three cars of Muslims that are now congregating outside my sister's house, making serious threats and whatever not. So I'm going to have to go off air, but I wanted to make it for you. I'm going down there because... Like my actions will not be held. You know, the police are there, and I've just had my mum on the phone. They can't do nothing, apparently. There's three cars sat outside her house, all looking in, and the police have clearly stated...
Well,
make
if
clear
they're,
on
there, they're there and they're parked up, they're making a nuisance themselves, the police should move them on. And I would say to... I'm going to give a call out for anybody that's in the Wiltshire area, any of the division people. You know... Sonny and his family needs a little bit of help. Maybe you just have a quiet mosey around there to see what's going on, guys. I'm not talking about any violence or anything like that, but it does seem to be that there's a little bit of pressure being put upon Sonny and his family. So I'm giving a call out now to any of our members that might be out there. if you know the location, say it on air, the location of Sonny's mum, where she lives, and her sisters, please go just give them a little bit of help. I think they need the help right now. Not tomorrow, but tonight. Okay, guys? That's just my shout-out to anybody that's part of our, you know, the English Defence League, or anybody that cares about patriotism, friends, and freedom. It does seem that there's a lot of intimidation going on there, and we know the old Bill don't like to do jobs unless there's some actual violence, people being hurt. So, Sonny, thank you for relaying that to myself. So I just wanted to get that out. I've done the right thing, giving a shout-out to anybody, because that does seem like there was a little problem looming there. But sorry to hear that, Sonny. Thank you for coming on.
I just wanted to get it out there because so that people have heard this, because it's now serious. This is three or four cars again, Jeff, you know, crammed full of Muslims. They're targeting a little children now in a house. I want to get that on air because I want people to know about this, because it's a joke, you know. I mean, three days now out of about 6 months that this has been going on, and all the
they're
police
trying to
can
drive
say
you
yet
out,
again.
You and your family out, Sonny. This is what they're trying to do, son. We all know what these tactics that they've been using from people for a long time, tactics, how they get people out, how they don't want you there because you're speaking out against this horrible, disgusting cult of theirs, you know? And, of course, it's not like just that. It's bringing your family into the fray as well. It's wrong. That's on the old
Bill. Oh, yeah, it absolutely
is.
And Sonny, there's a question from the chat room, and this is from Eric Kyle. He wants to know where's the nearest police station so that people can call in and complain.
Here
you go,
Sonny. The nearest police station would probably be Melksham Police Station in Wiltshire.
Okay.
That'll probably be the best one.
Okay.
If we got spelling of that, we put it in the chat room. People might want to give it a call, please.
Sure.
Because Melksham, did you say? Is it Melksham?
Yeah, M-E-L-K-S-H-A-M.
Melksham. Okay, I wonder if you just put that in the chat room, Kel.
Sure.
And then, because all you've got to do is look for Wiltshire, look at police constabulary in Wiltshire, and you'll come across it, and then you can give a shout out to can call the police yourselves, guys.
Right. Well, I'm going to have to get off, Jeff, and I'll speak to you guys soon.
Okay, Sonny.
And thank you.
You take care, buddy.
Mate.
Okay. Give me a call when things get a bit heavy, like, okay, boys, if we can do something, okay?
And Sonny, keep us apprised, whether it be on Skype or Facebook or whatever. And I have the link right here, Jeff. I'll put it in the chat room right now for the Wiltshire police station. Okay.
Thank you very much. It's very worrying times. Very worrying times. There you go. Thank you so much, Kel. There you go, guys. Kel's put the link there, HWTP, the little dot thing, www.wiltshirepolice.uk. So there you go. That's HTTP, and it's that little hyphen thing, and it's /2 www.wiltshire.police.uk. Wiltshire.police.uk. Okay, so there you go. Because it's very worrying, isn't it? It's got me bloody worried anyway, Kel.
Goodness
me, I'm just noticing, Kel, because of what's been going on tonight, the time's gone by so quick, isn't it?
Oh, I know, and I feel really bad. I felt like I was interrupting you guys, but, it's pretty much been a program pertaining to breaking news. We've had breaking news from Tim, and we've had breaking news from Sonny, and I just felt it was important for me to interject at some point and let people know what's going on out there.
No, you do what you've... It's right, Kel, is what I always said. And what you've done was spot on there. So thank you very much for bringing Sonny on at that moment in time. It's only right that that we know the situation. There's 3 to 4 cars full of fucking Muslims. Oh, excuse my language, ladies and gentlemen. Outside his mum's and his
sister's. Are you hanging
sisters.
Around me too much?
No, I'm just angry, Kel. No, I'm just angry. I don't know about you, Tim. Does it make you like that? Make you angry when you know Sonny's under
there? Yeah, of course it does. And, you know, nobody should be targeted in this way. I mean, the fact that it is groups of Muslims, the tendency is for people to say, oh, well, that's just the way Muslims behave, and write it off. But that behaviour should not be tolerated. You know, this is a civilised society, and despite the presence of Muslims, it is still a civilised society, and behaviour like that should be severely punished. If it's threatening behaviour, the problem is, of course, as Sonny says, that the police say, well, if you can't prove it, well, okay, that is difficult.
I wonder if it was the other way around, Tim.
But
if
it was the other way around, if a Muslim says, oh, somebody said something nasty to me, then, yeah, they get the SWAT teams out and the helicopters and
the
police dogs.
The flying over and everything,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
Absolutely. And they put a 24/7 guard on the house to make sure nothing nasty happens to them again. All well and good.
But because they're indigenous people and they're not the chosen ones, I mean, they're just... put to the side, and it doesn't matter. We'll only do something if someone gets hurt. We've got evidence to prove what was going on. So you've got to really have a good kick in or something like that. Something's got to really be done here. And then they'll say, we'll look into it. But we need the evidence. We need to know, because we know of what happened with one of our angels who took a right hiding, and these two little scumbags walked out of court. So we do know that we live in a two-tier system, ladies and gentlemen. And this just goes to show you, some of the points we've discussed tonight has been, you know, is exactly what's going on in 2014. What's the date, Kel, today? It's 2014. It's the 6th.
The 6th
of April. There you go, of April 2014, that this is what we have to endure in the time that we live now. So that's for the history, for what's this show for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. But as I say, we are coming down to the bar. I'd like to thank everybody that's associated. talking too quick and drying up fast. everybody that's associated with the show this evening. It's been a little bit, we have been a bit, I've swore a few times myself tonight, and I can't help it, guys. I'm absolutely raging tonight with the situations that's going on in this country. And I know Tim is, and Kel, and everybody's listening to this show this evening. So I'd like to thank everybody.
I'm kind of furious because Tim is my co-host at RSB Radio and Liberty GB Radio. We do a weekly roundup of UK news, but he is also my co-host on Radio Jihad Network, and if Tim gets taken into the brink, well, you know, I'm not going to be too happy, Jeff. Let's put it that way.
No, none of us are. We just love having Tim about. He's a good lad. And we hope everything goes well, Tuesday.
You're too kind.
So
I mean, Tim,
I just hope everything goes well here this Tuesday, mate. And, we'll be in touch anyway, son. You know that.
Definitely. I'll send you a visitor's order. The thing about this case is that I am not personally concerned about whether I'm acquitted or convicted, and that empowers you when you've got that feeling. So I'm going to go in there really looking to knock 7 bells out of the opposition, and I feel that on a good day with a reasonable judge, then the arguments that I put forward should prevail. All right, it can always go pear-shaped at the last minute, so I shouldn't perhaps have too much hubris, because you know what they say, after hubris comes nemesis, and that's never nice. But on the day, I really, like I say, I'll be thinking of all you guys and all the support I've been given, and I think I'm going in there with the best chance I could possibly have with all the level of support I've got. So thanks again to everybody.
Okay, Tim, as you say, you're in our thoughts and prayers, and I'm sure you'll have fantastic support at that call for this Tuesday. But I've got probably about 90 seconds, so I'd like to thank you all. And, of course, I've just seen Agador, as she's raised his hand. But I'll have a chat to you in the archives in a minute, so we better do the closing part of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've enjoyed the show this evening. It has been a little bit... some things that we've been rather angry about tonight, but I hope you've enjoyed the show and what we've put together tonight. So from myself, from the team, from everybody, God bless you, take care, stay safe, not forget it, from every single one of us, no surrender ever. Here we go, guys. Yep. We're going under. Good night, Kevin. Good night.
Good night, Jeff.
Good night,
EDL Radio Archive.
Well, there you go. My goodness me, it was a it was a fast moving show this evening, wasn't it, guys? It really was. And I'm so annoyed though. I'm still raging.
You're raging. Oh my goodness. I might have to take this show to Audacity and remove some things. And,
well, add anything
either
to
that
add,
or
add more.
Change the settings and turn it X-rated because I was spitting nails, believe me. I was spitting nails so bad, I think I damaged my desk again.
No.
Oh, dear. That poor old desk. Been through hell and back, hasn't it, girl?
Certainly has.
But, no, there was lots of things that made us very angry this evening.
My poor
Tim
desk
was the most
keeps
composed
getting
person.
Banged. Like, I'm telling you, Jeff.
Tim is the most composed person on the show this evening.
Oh, well.
I know. I think Tim and Sonny were very sedate.
Well, you know, I mean, it is There's no doubt there are serious issues involved here, and I always get particularly annoyed because I remember the Tony Martin case very well, and I remember getting quite worked up about that, and I followed the case very closely, and I thought it was disgraceful that a man should be sentenced for murder because he happened to kill an intruder who came into his house. Now, all right, the forensics proved that he was firing his shotgun at them as they were running away out or running towards a window to get out of his house. I think he fired three shots, and after the first one, they decided that discretion was the better part of valor, and they decided to run for it, and he kept firing. But nevertheless, they shouldn't have been in his house in the first place. And I think they got everything they deserved. All right, the kid
don't
died.
Forget,
he'd
already
only
16, been, they'd he already was only 16 been in years there a couple old. Of times before, Tim.
Oh yeah, I mean, that's the people who were shot had got criminal records as long as your arm, and if the fact remains, if they hadn't decided to burgle him on that night, the kid that died would still be alive now, and I think not enough consideration was given to that fact. And that is why there was a huge outcry in the UK about this case, and subsequently it was recommended that if householders there have been several other similar cases in the intervening 15 years, but nevertheless the law has been relaxed insofar as the guidelines state that if a householder, in fear of his life, kills an intruder, then he should not be prosecuted quite so severely or with such vigour as he has been up to this point. Now, that's not to say that the penalties have changed. If you murder is murder at the end of the day, but extenuating circumstances are such that somebody breaks into your house and puts you in fear of your life, then you are entitled to respond. And it does still come down to reasonable force, but the guidelines on what constitutes reasonable force have been relaxed. And that's what I was saying to Sonny. If he found that there was an intruder in his house and he felt in fear of his life, which I'm sure he would, then that is the overriding consideration. He shouldn't need to stop and think about whether he can only tie him up for 10 minutes or any rubbish like that. If you're in fear of your life, Well, you have to think about this in advance. If you've got a house and you've got people in it that you care about, and there is a threat to their well-being, you've got to think about this in advance. What would I do if something like that happens? And then when you've decided what you're going to do, you just make sure that you do it. And you don't stop and think about, well, maybe I can only tie him up for 10 minutes, otherwise I might get arrested. No, you go and do what needs to be done, because at the end of the day, it's far better to be tried by 12 than to be carried by 6.
Mm-hmm. Tim,
yeah, and
you
that's
know
an
that,
old
mate.
Military
that's
thing.
Yep. Yep.
And just to let you know, Jeff, that Agador is joining us
right now, and I think Agador...
would certainly have a word to say about that.
You most certainly. Agatha, it's always a pleasure to see you. I see some great comments that you're making in the chat room this evening as well, and it's always great to have you on the show there, bruv. So over to you, mate.
Oh, well, greetings, everyone. Yeah, I mean...
Hi, Agador.
Really worried about Sonny at this point. I wish I lived around in the Wilshire area. I'd love to perambulate out to that area and, I don't know, maybe have an accident with my cane. You know, these things happen. I mean, just ask anybody who noses out too far in a crosswalk when I smack their front of their cars. But I just want to say to Tim. Tim, I did, you might be getting bored with the blackbirds there, so I did post you a North American raven. That's the sort of scientific name for a crow. Okay, that's what we call them. We call them crows, but it's a big one because apparently the exchange rate is rather uneven, so it's going to be a rather large crow. So
spoiling him, Agador. Don't bloody spoil him.
Well, I thought he'd like
as
a
bad
little
as it is now.
Well, I thought he'd like a little bit of foreign food. You know,
I do like a bit of variety in my diet. So thank you very much. It's much appreciated. Thank you.
Oh, you're
my
quite
God,
welcome.
Them birds, Tim, is nearly big as a turkey that he's sending you over, mate.
Yeah. I mean,
am I right, Ev?
You might want something, a little something before Tuesday, but man, I got to tell you, Tim. You may not see us, but there are so many people that are going to be behind you when you head to court, man. And it's all of a piece with speech. I mean, I'm going to have to change my next show, and I'm going to try and bring your case up too. We've got people over here losing their jobs because of opinions they expressed through political donations, 8 years ago, 6 years ago, excuse me. And in the other extreme, we have people like you possibly facing 6 years for calling someone a mendacious, grievance-mongering taqiya artist and a Muslim scumbag. I mean, at the most, something like that, even if you wanted to put a quote-unquote racial component in there, which is ridiculous in and of itself, at the most, it should ban you from Twitter for a couple of months or something like that, maybe at most a year. That should be the biggest deal anybody makes of it, but instead they're going to try and put you in the can for a year or for maybe 6 years. That's ridiculous. And I just want you to know there are a lot of people, some of whom you don't even know, who are going to be behind you there, man. So, I just wish I could be there to, buy you the cappuccino at night on Tuesday. But, we'll be there in spirit. And I know I'm talking for Kel and for a lot of others.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I really appreciate that.
Yeah,
that's wonderful. Sure is. Thank you very much.
Yeah. that's what I was saying, Tim. The support that you've got is been phenomenal. Once people found out the situation, the whole thing behind it with this taqiya artist, this bloody lie, let's call him what he was, making up figures so as he could get money out of the government for this organisation to help Mama, or tell Mama, should I say, and it got found out. That you put pen to paper, or you sent your email, you've done what you did, and that it's you who is now under the spotlight of the courts. It just shows you what is wrong in this country at this moment in time. There is Sharia compliance at work. Ladies and gentlemen, it is at work. As we saw last week, that they're trying to bring out a change that's going to take women's rights back a bloody 100 years or so. I mean, this is disgraceful. Can we let this continue? I say no. No way. No way can it continue.
Well,
can't. It's madness, Tim.
What's going on? It will only continue as long as the populace allow it to continue. I think we're coming very close to the point where people, a sufficient number of people, are waking up and saying what is happening is not good for the country and we're going to do something about it. And I think EDL, Blog Talk Radio, is a big part of that. I think the way we have been talking, well, not the way we've necessarily been talking, but the whole message of the EDL through Blog Talk Radio has resonated so well across every Western democracy that has exactly the same problem with Muslims that we do, that we're starting to see similar organisations springing up all around the world, and for exactly the same reasons. And when you start seeing that sort of thing springing up around the world, that resonance is there and it's growing. Yeah. And no matter what the political elites say about how we're racist, bigoted Islamophobes, you can't hide the truth forever. And it is getting out there.
Yeah, and that's the whole point, Tim, that, we've come together once again. This is, and I'm going to say it again, this is a Latter-day Crusade. We are, once again,
Christianity's under attack, for goodness sake. The whole thing, you know, I'm surprised that even the Pope hasn't spoke out against it already. You know, back in the times, Pope Tobias was the one who brought about the crusade, wasn't it? Where's our Pope of today? The Pope of today should be calling for a new crusade against this. This is a total insult to Christianity, Judaism, and all the things that we hold precious. We need a new crusade. That's what we really need, guys. And saying it, whether Muslims like it or not, it's too bad. They've got their jihad. We'll have our crusade, the one, the last and only crusade. That's it, you know. And I don't think it's the only way we can do things. And the crusade, I mean, we'll use how the Muslims speak about their jihad. When you talk to a Muslim about a jihad, they try to split it up. They try to say, well, a jihad could be in the inner soul, a jihad. Well, I would say the same about our crusade. Our crusade is what we're doing at this moment in time. We're crusading against the injustices that's going on to our patriots. We're crusading against all these mosques going up here, there and everywhere that don't need it. We're crusading against Sharia law trying to be imposed in our countries. Yes, we're already on a crusade. So, yes, we can split it up and use it how we like, can't we, guys?
Well, it's nothing less, Jeff, than a crusade for the civil rights of everyone, not the exclusive civil rights of one group of followers of a political ideology that cloaks itself in religion. This is about civil rights. In a way, it's not a movement against something. It's a movement for liberty for everyone.
Yeah. Well, that's it, and that's what I was saying. This is on behalf of everybody that we're standing up and saying this is our time now. We must stand together. As well, and we are. This is what we've done. We've recruited a massive, massive, you know, defence leaders across the globe. We're all brothers together in this, aren't we? Wherever we might be, you're in America, Kel's in Canada, but we're all brothers and sisters. We're all united
against what's
going on in our countries, and we will be proactive in what we do. We will bring about the demise of this horrible cultish ideology that's out there. And we will get shot of these dimmy politicians. One day, there'll be common sense. We'll be able to breathe. We'll know that the work we've done, maybe not all of us will see the end of the road, but I'm sure a few of us will, that we can, you know, we can look at the stars and say, yeah, we've done it. We've achieved what we set out to do. We've brought about them for freedom of our grandchildren. You can feel at peace with yourself that you've left the freedom for them kids to grow up in a better world. That's all we've always hoped for. Being bold and sort of spend your life. That's what you want.
I mean, nobody can see. Well, I say nobody can see into the future. We can't all see very far into the future, but, I mean, what I do see is that if we don't do what we're doing now, we'll be condemning our children, our grandchildren, to a far, far, to far, far worse prospects, because we right now have the best chance of making a difference, whereas if we do nothing now and we leave it to our children and grandchildren, their chances of making a difference will be proportionately less. So we owe it to them. We have to do what we're doing.
And, of course, there'd be a greater sacrifice to be paid. We do know that there are sacrifices along the way. We know. We see our patriots being rounded up. We see quite a few of them being in prison. We do know that there's patriots all over the country, in prisons over the country, because of speaking out, doing the things that we've been doing for 5 years. And, you know, so we owe it to everybody that we must continue, because we know these good people that usually trumped up charges. People would went away for stupid things, Tim. Absolutely. There's a catalogue of things that our lads are being put away for going out and stand with a policeman. There's five of them up north there, and he was an MP. I can't remember the whole story, but they went to his house, to drop a leaflet through to his door, a letter through to his door, and they all ended up in court, and I think they all ended up doing prison. Five of them went to prison because they went to drop a letter there, and the policeman was there and everything. It just goes to show you the injustice and the way that they stitch it up and, oh, he was in fear of his life, this, that, and the other. This is what they said, and this is the reason why them guys, a good lads, was banged up. And I'll never, you know, we must never forget that there's patriots now, while we talk on the show, are in a cell, sitting in a cell, and for what they believe in, with what we do, Tim, what you're going to have to stand up and do Tuesday, what Sonny's going to have to do, patriots up and down the country, you know, the witch hunt is on, underway, and I won't be surprised if we get rounded up soon and that, so you won't be surprised what's going on. When your voice becomes too big out there, they try and silence you one way or the other, but it won't stop me, and I know other people will step in my place if that comes to thing. We know that there's good people out there that will stand up and say, yeah, well, I'm Jeff Mitchell as well. It's not just Jeff Mitchell, I'm a Jeff Mitchell. You know, and that's the sort of thing that will happen. So they can't, we're not going away, are we, Tim? We're not going
well,
over there.
No,
they might think they can do this and that.
That's right.
Never,
we're not going
never,
away.
Mate. But,
no, we're
but
not.
Anyway.
Absolutely not.
Well, I'll say this, you know, in a way, and no, the EDL and the Tea Party movement here in the States don't share exactly the same goals, but there is sort of the same sentiment. Andrew Breitbart was a great spokesman for our American Tea Party movement, and he unfortunately died a few years ago, and ever since then, we have all, you know, we've been saying that we are all.
Oh, I like how you say that. Yeah, I like how you say that, Ecuador. I love how you say that, allegedly. Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of speculation out there. And I was listening to the Brian Craig show the other day, and he was talking about Andrew Breitbart. And there's a lot of, I know there's a lot of rumors out there and this and that and the other thing. Andrew Breitbart, he did have a heart condition, but it just seemed rather convenient that he died at the exact right time.
True enough, yeah. But, I mean, relevant to what's going on here in this show now is that we are all Andrew Breitbart. Everyone who espouses...
We sure are.
Everyone who...
Damn right we are.
The you know, the individual over government in the States here is Andrew Breitbart, and you know, as far as that goes, you know, everyone who espouses the truth that the EDL is putting out, you know, we are all Sunny England, you know, we are all, you know, we are all Jeff,
yes.
You know, we are all Tim. I mean, if
that's
they
what
take,
I, this is what I was saying, Agatha, that we're in this together, and whether one of us falls by the wayside or. You know, when I say that, and I do mean like get in prison or something like that, there's always going to be someone else. So we're always going to be there. Someone's always going to be there because we would just take up the, you know, you pick the flag up and you fly with the flag once again. And that's what I'm saying. And we in any war, this is a war. We got, you know, it's a war of tradition, war, you know, war of culture, whatever you want to call it, ladies and gentlemen. But it's underway. We know it's an unspoken war. Politicians do scare speak about it. But we're under siege with the Muslim situation and with our own very own politicians facilitating them and sitting back and seeing all the chaos that's raining around. A bit like a Nero system, isn't it, somewhat? Nero, you know, fiddled while Rome burns syndrome. And that's the sort of thing that we've got with our politicians at this very moment in time. And we've had that for many, many years. But we will prevail, though. We prevail. You know, sometimes the path gets a bit rugged, doesn't it, Tim and Agador and Kel? But, you know, we push the obstacles out of the way and we move forward. Moving forward like our mate who's on the show earlier on. And then that's what we carry on doing because it's the only thing we can do. I can't see doing anything different. Anything different than what we've been doing.
Well, you know, Jeff, I really found the point you made interesting about how the witch hunt is on, because that's basically the point that I hit in my last show, because this guy tweets to me and says, well, you know, I really don't think that any witch hunt is good. And I think I pointed out in my show that the witch hunt is on, and we're the ones being hunted. It's not it's not a question of you know, us, you know, evil racist people picking out and picking on poor brown people that are different from us. That's not it at all. It's the ideology of Islam that is going after everything that isn't it and trying to wipe it out, either slowly or quickly.
Yeah, well, bang on. What can I say about that? That you summed it up in a couple of sentences there, and that's the whole situation where we stand at this moment in time. But you know, but we'll just keep doing this. We do. As I say, this week's going to be very busy. I mean, I don't know. You know what? It depends what's going on this week. But might even have an impromptu show. And I'll have to quickly give Kayla a call to let her know if I'm going to do it or not. But we might have one, say, Wednesday or something like that. So it's just something I'm thinking right now as we're talking now. What do you think, Kel?
Oh, yeah, why not?
Sounds like a good idea to me.
I was saying like that. Well, I'll see how it goes. I'll probably speak to you tomorrow, Kel. We might throw up an impromptu show about Wednesday, something or other, half past eight, same time, but we'd probably have it for about an hour and a half or something like that. But we could do that because so many important things that's going on this week that I think it's that we could do that, couldn't we, Kel? As long as it don't interfere with anybody.
Yeah, we could. Absolutely.
We're going to be interested in hearing what happens to Tim and all of that. So, yeah.
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 So
and,
I was going to have a chat to Kel about that.
Yeah, and people also, they can listen to Radio G-Head Network on Tuesday nights at 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, because by then Tim will be out of court or in jail. And we'll have people listening in, and Tim can give everybody a synopsis as to what happened that day. And
A debriefing.
Yeah. Sure, why not?
Yeah, Kel, please be sure to tweet that out a whole bunch so that.
Oh gosh. Oh yeah, Agador. I certainly will. And but the thing is that we have quite a busy show on Tuesday. Is that we're interviewing Montgomery Granger. He's a former retired major from the U.S. military who was one of the care keepers. At Guantanamo Bay, so he'll be on Tuesday evening as well.
Very interesting. As I mean, this week we've heard the things that's going on with Tim and Sonny, and my thoughts this moment in time, I'm thinking of Sonny and his family. I don't know about you guys. My thoughts is what Sonny told me. I'm really quite concerned. That's why I'll give a call out to anybody who's in the location of the Wiltshire divisions around that end. You know, Sonny, right, I did that. Because they might need some help, and any patriots out there, if your brother and sisters are in trouble, you should be there for them, shouldn't you? If you can be, so in that location. So I thought it's worth giving a bit of a shout out to people, maybe just a bit of support, a bit of moral support, even that goes a long way. When I know that people are there for, you know, looking after Sonny and his mum and his sisters' interests. So, you know, because we are concerned, you know, we know what they're like. They're very intimidating, these people. This is the way they do. This is the way they try to drive people out of where they live and that. By this pressure, putting that under. And with the way the law is, the way you've heard the way the police don't really want to do nothing. This is typical, apart from when someone's actually been hurt. Then they think, oh, well, we've got to be seen to be doing our jobs now, lads. You know, we're the old law, so we must go and check it out and see what's going on. But it's always got to be an event before they do anything. That's the problem where we stand today. And it all comes down to the Stephen Lawrence case, because they was classed, the police at the time, as being, racially embedded or something rather, wasn't it? The whole
racially
thing
aggravated.
No. Tim, what is it that the report said that the
well,
police
they were talking about institutional racism within the Metropolitan
that's
Police.
That's it, institutional racism throughout the police force.
Oh, that's
and
it.
Since
oh,
then,
okay.
That's it. Thank you, Tim, for that. I couldn't quite think of the institutional racism. And this
that's
is
right.
The reason why they're acting as they do these days, because They've, because it's just the way the hierarchy sees that they must act in a totally different way to how they've been acting before.
Overcompensating, yeah. Yeah, overcompensating.
Exactly.
That, by the way, that institutional racism, you know, garbage, that actually came from the United States. I think I first heard that term in maybe in the late 1970s. It's that old. So, they just borrowed that from over here.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like that is the case, isn't it? But that's what we got. And this is the reason why we see the police, although, as we got to say, Tim, there are some good ones. As Sonny said before, when he was at the demonstration, the way the police was, and Dave said to me, how good the police was, you know. So in different situations, different things, they do the jobs well. On times when you really need them, they're not there for you. This is very sad, you know, because that's what people pay their taxes for. But it's only because I'm quite concerned about the situation with Sonny and his mum and his sisters, especially the story that Sonny told us what happened to his mum. What a horrific story.
Yeah.
Well,
that's his mum, for goodness sake.
I'd like to ask a question, if I could. You know, it really seems to me that there appear to be some police commands over there that seem to be more corrupt than others, and I wonder if that's something you guys notice on your end, or am I totally off here?
No, we Tim, how do you feel about the police? Would you say that's a good argument that Agatha's made there?
Well, I hesitate to condemn the police too much. That the average constable or the bobby on the street, because I think they are constrained in what they do by senior commanders, and it's made quite clear to them that if they step outside the boundaries of what is acceptable in the police force, then it could easily cost them their job. And when there, I'm pretty sure there's a culture of fear that pervades the police force. They've got to be extremely careful with what they do, because one step out of line and that could be their job, just like that. So I'm reluctant to condemn the bobby in the street, but I think senior commanders have got a lot to answer for. The political correctness and multiculturalism that has infected the rest of our society really has no place in the police force. The police force was originally founded in this country by Robert Peel, and one of the founding factors in this was a sense of that they were the servants of the public, and that they would only operate with the acceptance of the public, and that they would execute their duties without fear or favour. Now, it seems to me that that's been turned completely on its head, and senior commanders feel that they can use the police as political tools, or rather the political elites say to the senior commanders, we want to use your troops as political tools to control and constrain people like the EDL, who are really just concerned patriots who are they're understandably concerned about what's happening in this country. But the
political policing is the word, isn't it?
Yeah, it's political policing. It is. And I'm sure many police officers are unhappy with the way it's going, and that's why I'm reluctant to condemn individual police officers on the street. You know, even when they know that there are things going on that, you know, 10, 20 years ago they'd have dealt with in completely different in a completely different way, they'd be knocking some heads together. You know, if you get something reported to them like what's happening with Sonny, the police would be round there, be knocking a few heads together, and making sure that Muslims understand that sort of behaviour is not acceptable. But of course, they're understandably reluctant to step in on what might be a very, very sensitive issue, and it could cost them, you know, a single word out of line could cost them their job. And if you've got
that
culture
like
of fear,
Sonny
it doesn't
said
do anything.
To us, where he relayed when he was at the demonstration. When he was at the demonstration, he got talking to one of the coppers, and the copper quietly said to him, you know we're all with you. You do know there's a lot of us that that are with you, with what you do, but you know the situation. You know, so this is what he turned around to Sonny, he said, this cop, and he was being, I think he's been quite forthright with the way that he said that there's a lot of us who are with you and believe in what you're doing, but we can't say anything because we've got to be seen as impartial, you know, whatever the cop said to him. And Sonny said that on the other show. Do you remember going to him? That's exactly what he was telling us.
Well,
so
yeah,
it goes to show you.
That's right.
If push comes to shove, that you never know that the police might turn, and you might find that. And this is the reason why that some of our demonstrations you don't see too many police around us, because we've got our own security. You know, Agatha, we've got our own security.
Yeah.
We've got great lads who do a great job of keeping things in order. Don't let people, you know, get carried away, whatever. Keep it in control. Sometimes our lads, they end up on both sides. Some take, you know, no, you're not getting into that lot, no. And before you know it, they get smacked. I mean, I've heard it lots of times where that happens. So they are our own police. We've got our own police within the EDL, you know. And this is, and the police know this. Not going to openly say, you know, that is the case, but we have. And they do a bloody great job, and they don't get paid. You know, they're only volunteers, but they do a fantastic job. I'm very proud of them, to know everybody, you know, especially my old mate Dave, who does a fantastic job, and, you know, and many others. And we've got some of them, ladies who, as well, who do the security as well, so our angels. So I'm very proud of them all, because the police don't have to step in. If anything, they're keeping an eye on the other lot. You know, you're not the UFA. They don't care what they try and break through the police line. They tried it on a few times in the other demonstration, but I don't think you heard of anyone being arrested and banged up or anything. But it seems it's always our lads. And of course, as we know, we are at war with the Cameron and his regime. We know how he finds us despicable. That we are the sickness. And he's trying to cleanse. He's trying to cleanse his country of the English Defence League, ladies and gentlemen. That's what he's trying to do. This is what he's trying. You know,
absolutely.
This is how we do it.
All due respect to Mr. Clean, but I like what Tim had to say. I mean, it's very easy to just blanket condemn the police because of what their leadership does, and. You know, one of the things that we have to realize is that law enforcement officers, yes, they do belong to kind of a different culture than the rest of us, sometimes out of necessity and sometimes out of choice, but these are people that have families and all of that, and they've got to think about making a living for themselves, and whether they approve of it or not, they've got to follow the orders that are handed down to them. And at the very top, you see a lot of politics going on. And yes, Jeff, I think you're right. There's going to come a point in all of our countries where our law enforcement officers are going to have to make choice between the people and between their leaders. And I think that's when you're going to see the difference between the real law enforcement officers and, you know, the little oink oink porkers.
Yeah, I mean, also we've got to remember as well that amongst our ranks, as you know, we've got a lot of ex-military as well. They've joined. It's not as if we can't look after ourselves. We have got people who have had army training who stand with us. So this is the case. And as one guy said going back a while ago, there's literally thousands of these guys in our ranks as well. So push comes to shove, we have got the right people in place when push comes to shove, that the chess pieces are put in place, and hopefully, well, hypothetically talking, I mean, we never know the way things are going, but I do believe that when it comes to it, you know, there'll be a situation where, you know, things will have to be done, and then at the end of it, there's still going to be the infrastructure's got to be built up. You've got to put people in place that will take control of what's going on in the country, what goes on now in the countries, that's got to be put in place, the infrastructure, isn't it? So after any sort of whatever goes on, any change of say they're the revolution, which I'm, that's hypothetically speaking as well. So I've got to speak that way because people listen into our shows, don't they? We're trying to have a revolution.
Yeah.
We're
going
to have a revolution.
Yeah, stop listening into our shows. We're trying to have a revolution here.
There you go.
Exactly.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Do you mind? We're trying to have a revolution. Yeah.
But we're saying it hypothetically, aren't we?
Well,
you know, that's the thing, is that what really frustrates me, Jeff and Tim, in the you guys being in the UK, and Agador and myself being here in North America, what really gets to me is that there is a force working against us, and I don't know how we can combat it. Like, elections obviously aren't working.
Yeah, well, we've said this many times that there are forces of darkness working around us. We are the beacon of light, and we've got to continue being this beacon of light. We've got to give people hope. We've got to give people hope. We've got to give future generations hope. That's why we must, even if it's a struggle and the sacrifices some of us might have to endure, so be it for the greater cause, you know. That's me speaking. I mean, I'm talking as an individual now of the way I see things. What we do for the greater cause. And as we know, there's a lot of people we've lost people. We've lost some of our patriots along the ways, many, actually. You know, and you know, passed away, and also been taken off the streets in prison. So, you know, we know, and we've all said that what we do is also the sacrifice that has to be paid, whether it is not the, you know, the final sacrifice, but at this moment in time, people are, you know, sacrificing their freedoms, their liberty, all the things they fight for. It's been put at stake. So, you know, it's always my thoughts and go out to all them lads that's up and down the country that's in prison for political... political crimes. This is political crimes that they're in prison for. You know, can you believe it? That this is... they're political prisoners and they should be treated as such. You know,
we're not political as such, but
it should be classed because of who we are.
Why isn't
that's
an
the same with the Tea Party in the United States, and the Tea Party is apolitical as well. We are pressure groups, and that we have to stand up. We have to make voices heard. I like the philosophy of the EDL movement. I like the philosophy of the Tea Party movement, in that we have groups. We have Tea Team parties in the United States, and we have EDL divisions in the UK. And we are there just to ensure that our politicians know exactly how we feel, and we bring issues with us. And they're empirical issues, Jeff and Agador and Tim. They're empirical issues. We have empirical concerns, and we can back it up with fact. You have to start paying attention to the people.
Well, because the people are the people who put people in power. And... you know, they should start, and they don't. People like Cameron, come on, Kel and Tim, we got to look at this. Cameron is never going to listen to what we've got to say.
Obama won't either.
Not Obama. He goes on his merry way like Cameron does, and he makes scathing remarks about the true patriots, you know, who would shed their own blood, would shed their sacrifice, their freedoms for what's right in this country. Could never see him doing that, or any of the others. You know, I'll tell you what, any one of our patriots is worth 100 of our politicians. Just every person that's involved with what we do. You know, and I look at, you know, the Camerons, the Cleggs and all them lot, you know, and I look at the real people, the people on the street, the people who feel the effects of Islamisation in their, where they live. Can we, you know, like what Sane's been telling, what Tommy's told, story, you know, we hear these stories all the time, what it's like to live. They don't live in there, do they? This is what Sane said. They don't. They've got their lovely little home out the way, and they can point fingers at other people because it's not affecting them. David Cameron's not having his daughter raped or anything like that. No, does he give a monkeys about anybody else? No, he doesn't. Just as long as he stays in power. And
same
it's all
with,
a power thing, isn't it?
Same with Obama. Yeah, same with Obama. I mean, you know, I have to say here, maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but I think we're all glad that these people's daughters are not going to be in danger. You know, we don't want anybody's daughter to be in danger. That's the point. But these people, yes, they live separately. I mean, my God, Obama has, you know, practically a palace in Hawaii. It's on an island out in the middle of the stinking ocean. You know, I mean.
Yeah.
He doesn't give a rat's about ordinary Americans and whether or not Islam just completely overrides the country. Once he's out of office, you know, he's out of here, you know, with his millions of dollars and in his palace in Hawaii. And Cameron's going to be the same way. He I don't know, he may find some nice place in the Canary Islands. I don't know, someplace.
And this is we've always said, and but the thing about it is I do believe that the treacherous behaviour of these politicians, what we've seen in our times, that there should be no hiding place for them. We should bring back treason for these people, brought about, so that people might have to shed their blood to fight back and take the streets back, cities back. And we know that there's going to be a lot of sacrifice to do that. We know that's urban warfare, isn't it, Tim? It's going to be hard. It's going to be bloody. And there's going to be sacrifice. You think these politicians can come back and think they're going to be put in place? The only thing they'll be put in place is a nice little lynch, a little thing for them to be hung. That's the only place for people like them who's betraying this country, who's betraying your country, Ecuador. That's the only decent place for these people. And
exactly.
That's my thoughts. But anyway, that's just me. I'm really angry about that tonight.
Yeah.
But anyway, we better wrap the show up, guys.
You know what? Yeah. I was going to say, Jeff, that we have VTR is probably going to kick us off.
I was thinking that, Gil. I just looked up at the clock because my screen went blank on me, and I was just had to look at the clock and I thought, my goodness me, it's gone quick tonight. And do you know what, though, guys? I always enjoy our archives now. We really get into the nitty-gritty of things when we have these archives as well. And I hope everybody gets, you know, as much enjoyment out of what we do.
Are you kidding?
Sharing
we
our
got
views
into
with
the
these,
nitty-gritty
listeners.
Of everything tonight.
Yeah, certainly do.
We certainly do, and that's just one show.
Yeah. I mean, we can meet up on Skype later and just continue this. I mean, as far as that goes. Yeah. It's a shame we can't record it.
We could have a Skype conference.
Yeah, we could have a Skype conference.
Still good.
Hey, I mean, if you
might
guys
be surprised.
I know that Tim and myself would bring a lot to the table,
definitely.
Sure. And so would Jeff, and so would Agador.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, I mean, if you guys are, but yeah, Jeff, please continue.
Yeah, no, I was going to say I haven't had a cup of tea for 3 hours, so I'm really gasping for one now. So I was wondering if we should close this. So you haven't had a cup of tea, I thought you'd had your flask there, Tim.
I'm definitely gasping for one at the moment, yeah, definitely. So, I think that's...
That is me, mate. And I know, Agador, you gasped me with a cup of coffee, didn't you, mate?
Well, no, I mean, I drink Diet Dr. Pepper, you know, I just start the ice drip as soon as I wake up, so
ooh,
still going on.
Oh, isn't he wonderful?
Here's a pepper, there's a pepper, how'd you like to be a pepper, too?
Kel, you make me laugh.
Oh, dear.
But, But once again, I've got to thank yourself, Agador, for being a part of the archive team tonight. Kel and Tim, it's been fantastic tonight. But as I say, just my thoughts. I'm just worried about young Sonny and his family.
Yeah. I'll be checking on his Facebook page to see what's going on.
Yeah, and so will I, mate. So will I. Oh, sorry about that.
Mate. Did you call me a mate?
Yeah, I did.
I am matey.
I didn't mean to say. I meant to say Sheldon, mate, come out. You know, and this is bloody Alzheimer's, isn't it? Like, you know, and it's
the Alzheimer's EDL division.
Does that mean I'm
well, Tim started it.
You.
Tim started it. Yes, that's right. Blame the Birmingham one. And for people who are listening
Birmingham
in archives,
one,
hey, Jeff, before we forget, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be listening to the archive portion in archive. Please, if you can be at the Birmingham Courthouse Tuesday, 9 a.m., please try to be there.
And
Liberty GB will be there, and they will have placards for you. And show support for Tim Burton, because what he's going through is a total injustice. This is a travesty of justice. And so please try to be there, everybody. And don't forget, you can also donate to Cat Strangler 101, okay?
Yeah, please do, guys. Please do.
Yeah.
And Tim... Well, before we just close up, would you like to give a shout out for your funding? Who people can maybe put a few dollars or a few pounds into the kitty?
Yeah, that's right. A few pounds in the kitty. If you've got a few pence or a few pounds to spare, what am I talking about? Sell your house, sell your car, sell your dog, sell your wife.
Don't sell the first wife, though, Tim.
Oh, no.
We're only asking them to sell the third wife, okay?
Wives 2, 3, and 4. Wife. Yes, that's right.
And the sandals. Don't forget their sandals.
Yeah. And the address to go to is freedomlovinginfidel.blogspot.co.uk. freedomlovinginfidel.blogspot.co.uk. .co.uk, and right at the top of that page you will see a donate button for the Cat Strangler 101 Legal Defence Fund. And
please
anything
put your hands deep in your pockets.
Yes,
there
indeed.
You go, American Express, anything. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. So if you believe in freedom, you love freedom, Mr. Burton, he'll be fighting on all of our behalves this Tuesday. So there you go. So I think we've highlighted that okay there, Tim, don't you reckon, mate? Yeah.
Well, I certainly hope so. I have to say, I'm not asking for money just for the sake of it. It's just an unfortunate consequence of the way the British legal system works, that it does cost money to go to court, even if you are the one being taken to court, and there's no guarantee that you're going to get any money back at the end of the day from people who are taking you to court. So it's just one of those things.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
if you can spare anything at all, it would be very, very welcome. So thank you very much in advance.
And I just want to say to the
Americans
out there,
so,
get enough people.
Yeah, dig your hands in your pockets and rummage around and, you know, sell that second house and send the money you make.
And Agador, what was that? We missed that.
I was just saying, I just want to say to any fellow Americans that might be listening out there, you know, come get this up, guys, because, it's not just Tim, it's not just the UK. You know, this could be us in a few years. This could be a precedent, you know, so please, you know, donate something if you can. Because this is someone, working for freedom of speech, and, we've got to get behind him. Whatever you can do, guys.
Yeah.
Well said, Agador.
Thank you very much.
The American and the North American listeners that we've got out there, not forgetting Kel's Canadian brothers and sisters there as well. We do know that they listen to the show, so... Wherever you might be, and you must think, if you haven't known what's been going on, Tim, where you been? Where you been?
Yeah.
It's big. So, anybody, you know, once again, I'll say, try and help Tim, because he does need that. Tim will do the good fight, he'll fight the good fight, but sometimes there is a finance that has to be, sorted out. But it's not cheap. Legal systems, the way it is, guys. So that's all we're asking. A little bit of support, because Tim will win this, probably win this, but he just needs a little bit of backing. And I know he's got lots of support all around the world, and we continue
to wish Mr. Tim Burton, well, I hope you have your day. I hope you have your day this year, and I hope there's going to be a lot of people saying, you never know, Birmingham might be clogged up that day, Tim. You don't know, mate. You don't know. You've invited everybody from across the globe. Everybody's flying in here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah.
Well,
you
never
know,
surprised,
mate.
I suppose you might be surprised. I'm expecting at least sort of 10 people, maybe 15.
You never know what to expect. Good people, you know, people listen to what's been going on. I think you find could be a lot more people turn up than you expect. Him, that's all we can say. Anyway, for myself, from. Oh, I was going to say, Kel, have we got an exit tune for this?
I was thinking, Jeff, for our exit tune, why don't we play Fayez Miguel Tell Mama with Tim Burton?
Yes, you can. Yes, why not?
All right. Whenever you're ready.
Okay, I'd like to say thank you, everybody, who's been involved with the show tonight. And everything that goes on in the background with the slides, this, that, and other, that's Kel's, the great production editor she is. And of course, to everybody associated with what we do with the English Defence League Radio. We're going to sign off tonight, and we'll be back. We might be back this Wednesday with an impromptu show. We just have to see how things go. I'm going to have a talk to Kel. And,
absolutely.
Anyway, I'm going to get the advice myself, but I'll be talking.
That's right. We may have an impromptu show. We'll get that set up, Jeff and myself, and we will ensure that you get all the details that you need to hear about the next, or not the next, well, there's going to be a lot more, but the latest persecution of one of our own, and that is Tim Burton. And ladies and gentlemen, and Jeff and Agador and Tim, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Kel.
And,
good night, guys. And once again, we might be on an impromptu show this Wednesday, but we've got to sort it out. It might be a little bit earlier, so I don't know yet. I'm not sure. What the time might be. So I'll have a chat with Kel. But anyway, we better go, Kel, because they're going to shut us down any minute now. So
take care,
stay safe, God bless you all, and not forgetting there's no surrender from any of us, never, ever. Okay, Kel, over to you.
Gentlemen, have a wonderful evening. We will see everybody back here on perhaps an impromptu show on Wednesday, but as usual, we will see you back here in our regular time slot, and Thursday evening at 8:30 p.m.
In 2013, Mr. Tim Burton, on his Twitter page, Cat Strangler 101, called religious beliefs, no matter how offensive those religious beliefs are to the rest of the population, a criminal offense. But as was the case of Tim Burton, we are now living in a country where our right to free speech is, because of our politicians' decisions, being eroded almost to the point of non-existence. We are increasingly not being allowed to express our own opinions on more and more subjects in this country. But in the case of Tim Burton and Faisal Mughal, we are now not even allowed to tell the truth without fear of being arrested by the British police. This is the country we live in today. But it is a
country of laws created by politicians from all three of the main political parties, which are then enforced by the British police. The truth now seems to have become illegal. A country where a proven liar, like Faisal Mughal, can telephone the British police and have them arrest Tim Burton and charge him with racially aggravated harassment. Because Fayez Mughal was simply offended by what Tim Burton had to say about him. Over the years, we have seen our politicians erode the British people's right to free speech, with the reintroduction of blasphemy laws making criticism of anyone's religious beliefs, no matter how offensive those religious beliefs are to the rest of the population, a criminal offense. But as with the case of Tim Burton, we are now living in a country where our right to free speech is, because of our politicians' decisions, being eroded almost to the point of non-existence. We are increasingly not being allowed to express our own opinions on more and more subjects in this country. But in the case of Tim Burton and Faisal Mughal, we are now not even allowed to tell the truth without fear of being arrested by the British police. This is the country we live in today, but it is a country that I do not want to live in. A country created by today's politicians, where a liar can have you arrested for telling the truth because the truth offends him. Britain's politicians, Britain's police, the Tell Mama organization, Fayaz Mughal, the truth is far more important to me than your feelings, your lies, and the laws that you have created to take away my right to free speech. So I will join Tim Burton in saying, mendacious grievance-mongering taqiya artist, and to hell with anyone's feelings. No matter what your political beliefs are, no matter what your religious beliefs are, and no matter what color your skin happens to be, I will not live in a country where having an opinion or telling the truth has become a criminal offense. And we must all help Tim Burton in this fight for freedom, free speech, and the truth.
Thank you.